This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
PFW in Progress.
Get poop again!
He called the shit poop!
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana, you don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, speaking of dummies, we're here, PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, Gary's in the booth. Papa Gino's is coming.
That's get good. That.
And we got a lot to talk about in this off-season edition of PFW in Progress that we do every Wednesday from noon to 2. Paul's having technical difficulties.
He's over there pulling plugs, pushing them in.
Much better.
Okay.
Yours is broken?
Yeah, it goes in and out all the time.
Your box is broken?
Gotta work on the connection there. All right, but we have a lot to talk about. Super Bowl's over.
Stuck it in your box?
Peyton Manning has his ring. He's all set now.
Fred's still depressed.
He's on par with Tom Brady. There's no.
No. It's 3-1.
What?
It's 3-1.
What?
It's 3-1.
What?
Still 3-1.
Oh, okay.
Still 3-1.
Okay. One thing about that, did I see that they had their parade right when they landed on Monday?
Yeah.
And it was 40,000 people that were there?
Yeah, real bad.
Bad
That's
turnout.
Embarrassing.
Bad turnout.
I guess it was frigid, but the
rally.
But the
That's
time
embarrassing.
That the Patriots did theirs, it was also frigid.
Yes.
They had 1.2 million. That's
embarrassing.
It was very, very cold when the Patriots had their parades, all of their parades.
That is that just poor planning?
I think it is poor planning. Why have it the day they came
it didn't make
back?
Any
well,
sense.
God forbid they make a plan and then someone uses it against them in a court of law.
Because those fans are rabid.
I don't understand how you got less for that than a game.
Well,
yeah.
In all seriousness, what is the population difference in Indianapolis as opposed to Boston?
Oh, it's huge.
It's huge.
You know.
But still, I mean, there's got to be a lot of people there.
No, I would think at least 100,000 should come out.
Yeah.
I think it was poor.
I mean, they get 60 for a game where you have to have a ticket.
I'm not saying that it should be a difference between 1.2 million and
40,000.
I'm just was wondering.
The only thing I can think of is.
I'm saying if my high school team won and they had a parade, you'd get 15,000.
Not a lot of people live in the city. So I'm just thinking if a lot of people took the day off after the Super Bowl, there weren't that many people in the city that day. I don't know.
Why, it's a commuter city? Everybody lives out in the burbs?
Yeah, when you were there, you didn't see a lot of apartment
buildings. Yeah, it's all that little it's just centralized. That little,
but if they drive into work, they can drive in for a parade for their favorite team.
They could, but in Boston,
terrible.
The day that they had the parade, I mean, it was a work day, Rolling. And everyone just came out of the
Rally.
Office buildings, and it was huge. You know, they had over a million people in the streets.
Yes.
So.
That's embarrassing. I don't care what the excuse is. It's embarrassing.
The thing is, but we know that they're good fans.
They are good fans.
So there's some other reason why.
I don't care about the parade. I really don't care if they go.
That's terrible.
Or not. Who cares?
I think that's embarrassing for a fan base. It's embarrassing.
Would you go to a Cowboys parade, Tom?
No.
Yes, you would.
I don't give a damn
yes,
about
you
a parade.
Would.
I don't give a damn
You're
about
as psychotic
any
as any Cowboys fan. You'd be at a parade.
Who about the parade?
He'd there with
You'd
be there with a sniper gun in the trees.
Fred used to go to the Celtics parades.
I actually never went to one.
No. Oh, yes, you did. Come on. Don't lie.
Listen, for a fan, it's when they win the Super Bowl. Well, what do I care about the parade for?
Because you weren't there to see them win the Super Bowl. You weren't there to see any of it. It's your first chance to see them.
I saw it on TV. It was good enough for me.
Gary, you're a parade
You're a miserable bastard.
Tom, you wouldn't go to a
Rolling
Rally?
He went to the
Rally?
Red Sox parade.
Yes,
I would never.
If a Cowboys parade was happening anywhere near he lived, he'd be there.
I would not be
There's
there.
No doubt ever, in my mind ever. That you'd be there.
I could walk there, though.
Now, obviously, you're working
I would
for
never
the Patriots
be at any
parade, so that's not
Yeah, you would.
No, I would not.
I
yes,
go,
you would.
I'd
All
go
right.
with Tom.
Let's putting the parade aside for a second.
You get excited because we saw a bus at the combine that had a Cowboys logo on the side. You got all giggly like a little schoolgirl.
Now you're just starting lies.
Now I'm just telling the exact truth.
No, you're starting
Then
lies.
You were mad at me because I saw Jerry Jones in an elevator. You got the greatest luck in the world.
No, Fred, this was what I said. There was Cowboys bus parked outside all week. And my only question was, what, did they take a bus up here? Why didn't they fly like everybody else? That was my only question. Now he's turning it around. The Cowboys.
I just think it's funny that you can just lie. Lie.
You're the liar.
They probably
I wouldn't attend any parade. Not a Patriots parade, not a Cowboys parade, not a Colts parade.
We're talking about the Macy's Day Parade.
None.
Okay.
The stupidest thing ever invented, Macy's Day Parade.
All right, well, let's talk about the game a little bit.
Why? It sucked.
It was a terrible game. Rex Grossman probably had one of the worst performances of any single player in a Super Bowl. It was unfortunate. But having said that, I think, Paul, you said everything that the Bears needed to happen in that first half to win that game happened. And they still lost.
And
but they still could have won.
Yeah, I mean,
even when they weren't playing well, they still could have won later.
I thought Indy thoroughly dominated the game in every way, shape, or form. But for whatever reason, they kept Chicago in the game, and Chicago just wasn't good enough because of Grossman. Largely, it just wasn't good enough to take advantage of it. But you're right, Fred. I mean, look at all the things. I mean, they get a kick return for a touchdown. They force three turnovers. You know, most people said if they could cause some turnover, that's how they could stay in the game.
Yeah.
They get a big run from Thomas Jones to set up a touchdown. They had things happen that they needed to have happen. And it's
tied a record for most points scored in a quarter in a Super Bowl or something. I mean, great start.
Who'd they tie?
I think it's comical about the whole Peyton Manning for MVP thing.
Well, I
think it's comical.
It shouldn't have been him.
Let me ask you something. How many head coaching interviews has Tom Moore been on, the offensive coordinator for the Colts?
None.
You know why? Because he doesn't do nothing. He just stands there.
Because Peyton Manning's the offensive coordinator.
Peyton Manning.
Oh, so you're saying he should have been MVP.
The reason why this was his best year was because he finally decided, we can run the football. I don't need to throw it deep. He made that mistake early on where I said, uh-oh, here we go. He's trying for too much. Instead of taking the underneath stuff, but right after that interception, he changed his game.
Yep.
He threw the short stuff. He ran the football. I mean, granted, the MVP of the game was the offensive line, but they're not going to get it. So it goes to Peyton Manning. And for Patriots fans to be upset when their quarterback threw for 142 yards, he led the last-minute drive. You mean the two-yard passes he threw?
No, I think there's no doubt that Manning, it should have been the MVP.
Well, the bottom line is if there's ever doubt, it's the quarterback. That's how it works.
Well, that I agree with also, but In this particular case,
Grossman.
Do you really think
that's what I said? He was the MVP of the game for the Colts.
Does anybody really think that Dominic Rhodes is running for 100 yards if they have Jim Sorgi playing quarterback?
No, now that I've seen Jim Sorgi,
Jim Sorgi's never going to have any success.
The bigger question is there any doubt that at halftime Prince knew what he was doing with that guitar?
No question about it. What did he do?
Oh, you saw what he did with his guitar, holding it.
Sorry, I'm a man. I was eating while Prince was on.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
I watched it.
Well, I was eating and watching.
I heard him singing Purple Rain. I was getting fresh food. I could hear him singing Purple Rain, and it was
toward
awful.
The end, like, he had a couple guitar changes. Toward the end, somebody handed him a guitar that had, like, a tail with a arrow coming out of it. It looked like a devil's tail, sort of.
He made it look like a penis.
And so
Fred's
then,
struggling
then this
over
big,
there.
Big
I know. The guy who says swears every other word is like afraid to say penis.
And then they had this big, you know, cloth come up with wind, and he stood behind it. So all you can see is a shadow, and it looked like he was, you know, playing with his
penis.
His
guitar.
His Johnson.
Yes.
And, you know.
Fred, all the things you've said, and you're afraid.
Right. And so everybody, you know, afterwards, it's like, oh, no, he didn't intend to do that.
Of course he did.
So once again, CBS and the NFL got blindsided. They're just so stupid. They are just such idiots. Oh, okay. You know,
yeah, but who cares?
What did they think he was going to do? You know, I don't care.
Well,
but
I'm sure they didn't think he was going to stroke a phallic symbol behind a curtain.
But there are some media people out there, you know, writing how CBS should really come down off their high horse. You know, they're the ones that, you know, kicked Howard Stern off and all this stuff. Yet they keep making the same mistake over and over again. They should just shut up, you know, and stop handing out these fines to people and all that. So,
who do they fine? I thought it was the FCC who
handed out
the
fines. Well, the FCC fine, but they kicked Howard Stern off, and they're, you know, on their high horse how they, you know,
they kicked him off.
Yeah,
I thought he just went to Sirius.
No, basically he went to Sirius because he couldn't take it anymore. That's what he said.
That is why he left.
Yeah,
the fines were just getting ridiculous.
I thought it was the $500 million series game.
Anyway, I thought that was funny what he did. I could just see it. You know, that's not what he did in rehearsal. Any other thoughts about the game? No?
I thought it was a bad game. Yeah. I thought the Steelers-Seahawks game was a bad game. I thought the Patriots-Eagles game was a bad game.
You mean not the Patriots-Eagles?
The Patriots-Eagles was a terrible Patriots football Eagles. Game.
We haven't had a well-played game in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
I agree. I don't think we've had a well-played game, a really well-played game, since the Carolina Patriots one, where I thought both teams played well. Now, I know there was mistakes in those games. It was, you know, a little high scoring, but I felt like both teams played really well that night, whereas I really thought this one was bad, and I thought last year's was even worse with all the penalties. This one was sloppy.
The crowd pleaser.
You know, the Colts and Bears was sloppy with all the turnovers, but at least you could say it was a driving rainstorm, and that may have contributed a little bit. You know, the Steelers and Seahawks were playing indoors, and they couldn't go two plays without a penalty, and just bad football. It's surprising. But I was impressed. I have to admit, I come away tipping my cap to Indianapolis because of the style with which they won the game, you know, with a physical style in a way that a lot of people thought they couldn't win.
And, you know, we've been all saying that this defense was a charade during the postseason.
But you can't say penis.
But they kept doing it. I mean, they kept doing what they had to do defensively. So you got to say, you got to tip your hat to them and say, you know, they were able to, you know, continue that defensive push. I don't know how they did it.
They played three bad offenses.
It was all circumstantial.
As Paul points out, they were giving up yards and points to bad offenses in the regular season, so you do have to, you know.
It was better.
I mean,
it wasn't good.
I still don't think it's a great defense.
No,
I think
it's
it was
not a
better
great
in the playoffs,
well,
and
Sanders,
it was enough to win.
Sanders coming back healthy. Rob Morris, I mean, as old as he is, but he helped them against the run.
I think it was circumstantial. I think all the stuff you said, but you can't deny that the defense played a lot better in the playoffs than it did in the regular season. It was just week 16 that Ron Dayne killed them. I get one of the worst teams in football. Well, you say better, I say good. They played well in the playoffs. Yeah. Larry Johnson ran for 1,800 yards. He ran for 32 against the Colts. That's good defense. That's good run defense.
And they just stacked the line and said, we're taking away Larry Johnson.
And they did that all year and couldn't stop anybody. They did it in the playoffs.
All right, we got a lot to talk about.
Let me ask you crowd, please.
Let me ask you something, Fred. Is this food sent to us with somebody?
The best boss in the world, Fred Kirsch. That's who it's sent by.
And so it would be one thing to blame somebody who doesn't know this staff for not having a sub involved there.
No, I got pizza, just regular pizza, no pepperoni, and some wings.
When's the last time you saw me eat that?
You don't eat wings?
Oh, for Christ's sakes, I'm done with you.
Does anybody whine more than Tom?
Go on to the next topic.
All right.
Well, that's good. Tom is the brains behind the show anyway, so he can talk while we eat.
Now, well, Andy, how many times have we gone out on the road? About 100? How many times have I eaten one wing?
I thought you liked wings.
No.
All right, well.
He used to like big salads. Now he likes plain breasts.
Tom and Andy have their reservations for the Combine. They're all set. They're going to be there at the end of this month. Brian Lowe will be joining them. We'll have video coming back from the Combine.
We're not sure how that's going to work out.
Draft season
started. In other words, I'll be working, B. Lowe will be talking, and Andy will be eating.
That's right. That's right. So we're starting that up.
A wise football coach told me one time,
Fred,
you need to know your role in life and fulfill it.
Fred, how did you get a paper done for, what, 7, 8 years before Tom?
I don't know.
How did you do it?
It couldn't have been that good.
Wow.
But, well, as I was, you know, sitting there, Fred, you know, trying to go over the prospects, Andy's over my shoulder. Call up St. Elmo's. Get a reservation. Come on. First night. Wednesday night. This guy wants to step off a plane and eat half a cow.
Yep. That was the plan. But instead, Tom wanted to go Friday. So we're going Friday. Because you know how Tom, if he doesn't get his way, he gets all whiny.
No, as I pointed out, we have work to do. So I thought that was tops on the list.
Well, you do, Tom.
That's right. I'm just there to eat.
We don't know what Belo's there for. Now, find that out.
I don't know what Belo's here for.
Now, as far as the Pro Bowl, which is practice going on now, Matt Light got added to the Pro Bowl roster yesterday. Jonathan Ogden
apparently
is
now
out.
It's the pretty good bowl.
So
it's the whoever wants to go bowl.
Right.
Now, we have a crew.
Vince Young is now being protected by Matt Light.
And
this is supposed to be the best of the best.
There is a little confusion, though. We should mention that because some fans are confused by this.
Tom Brady didn't go because he didn't want to go. Vince Young
wanted to go golfing.
Vince Young wasn't selected over Tom Brady. We had a couple of emails in about
and
that.
Steve McNair passed up because he thought Vince Young deserved to go.
So that's why Vince Young is basically the ninth choice in the AFC as a quarterback.
We do have a video crew out there, and we're going to get exclusive video back starting probably tomorrow from the Pro Bowl. Belichick behind the scenes with his other coaches.
And he made up with LT, according to the clips this morning, what I read.
So look for that on Patriots.com. All right, Gary, let's take a break. We got a lot of emails. We'll get back to them right after this.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5%. Up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack Sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots Brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack Sausages. Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Welcome back, Teddy. What can I get you?
The crowd pleaser.
Sorry?
The crowd pleaser.
One more time. The crowd pleaser.
Yeah! All right, that's what we're saying here. Papa Gino's delivers. Except for Tom. Sorry, Tom.
Hey, Fred, did you see the shot that Solomon Wilcox gave Belichick after the game?
No.
Well, he was talking
it's
to
cut,
Lovie Smith.
By the way.
And Lovie Smith was, you know, just talking about the loss, and he said, thanks for being, you know, I forget, what did he say? Thanks for being so, such an upstanding guy.
Right.
But it was, and I said to Allison, I said, he just took a shot at Belichick.
Well, kind
right
of.
There.
I feel bad for Belichick, though. I mean, he really has never done anything bad to anyone. Yet he gets, he just gets killed right. because of his personality.
Right. So, Fred, let me ask you something. You're surprised that people don't like Bill Belichick?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay, well, I was going to say, the way he conducts himself, you got to expect that he doesn't care what people think about him, and people aren't going to like him because of that.
But these media people,
You know, now I'm about to go into a rant because the news over the weekend was Andre Tippett did not get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He got down to the list
Fred's
of 10.
Fred's been waiting for this for 2 days.
And, you know, which is too bad. There's still hope because he has another 5 or 6 years of eligibility left. But, you know, I'm listening to Peter King, who's one of the voters. And he says, you know, he's in the room and he can't really say what people say in the room.
And I know ifs and buts are candy and nuts.
But they're talking about Tagliabue, who I don't think should have been on the ballot in the first place. I think he should have to wait just like everybody else. But he is on, but since he's on the ballot, you might as well vote for him on his merits. And King is saying that there's people that wouldn't vote for him because he was never media friendly. I mean, my head almost exploded. I mean, these are the type of people voting on this hall in this Hall of Fame, and these are the type of people who are reporting on Bill Belichick.
Right.
You know, you're a journalist. They don't need to be your friend.
And you remember the Corey Dillon story that I did where John Clayton expressed that over and over again, that it's not supposed to matter.
Right.
You're supposed to look at the body of work and nothing else.
Right.
But that doesn't, as other people told me during that story, unfortunately, that's not the way it is inside that room.
Well, that really, really bothers me. And you know, Peter King said he would welcome if that conversation, what happens in that room,
really
was publicized
me.
And made public. And I'm all for that.
I'm all for
it. If you can't say in that room something that you want the public to hear, then you don't, either you shouldn't say it or you shouldn't be on that board.
Because you're backstabbing somebody. Yeah. If you
should
can't
be
go
walked
public
to the door
it.
If you have the nerve to say I'm not voting him just because. You know,
right.
That kind of crap. I mean, you've got people's lives hanging in the balance here. I mean, being elected
really
to the Hall of
me.
Fame is a life-changing event.
Right.
And
it can make people some money.
Yeah. And that's a lot
and
of
if you don't think Tippett should make the Hall of Fame and you say, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer because, and you give reasons,
that's fine.
That's fine. That's your opinion.
Right. But, I mean, they come up with these, you know, I never vote for these
yeah.
types of people. It's just ridiculous. You know, and
this is Andre
you
Tippett,
know,
and that's not what we're looking for.
It's a lot of power, and it's a lot of responsibility, and I think it needs the light of day needs to be shined on this proceeding.
But isn't this one better than the others, where it's just a guy sitting at home at his computer typing up a ballot?
Maybe.
At least this one, you have 39 other people who have a chance to try to sway somebody or persuade them or bring some reasoning to the debate.
Right.
If a guy's just at home writing out a ballot, and he has his own rules that he doesn't vote for linebackers,
right.
Then there's nothing that can be done.
I don't know. I mean, it may be better than the other systems, but that doesn't mean it's okay. And
I think it's different, yeah. But I don't really think it's any better.
Yeah.
I think it's the same.
Oh, I do.
Because I think that just because you have an opportunity, and I understand what you're saying, Andy.
I think
that,
debate.
I don't think you're wrong, but
positive.
But I think Fred just proved it. Guys do that, and they say, "Well, I'm not voting for Tagliabue because he's not media friendly." Well, I'm sure that somebody in that room said, "You can't do that," and he did it. So just because you have the – and I agree with what you're saying. You're having the opportunity, you might be able to change your mind. But unfortunately, I don't think it works.
Now I could
So that's why I think it's different, but it's not any better. It's not any more effective.
Like what Tom said, I could see somebody saying, I'm not voting for Tagliabue because I want to wait to see what his legacy
right.
actually is, what the effect of some of the things he did down the road. You know, 2 years from now, we could find out that he knew of a huge gambling conspiracy and turned his back on it, you know. So I can
well,
see
maybe
that.
They, how about if they implement like 3 things in the next 3 years that send the NFL, you know, to greater
right.
Heights than it's ever seen, and they're all things that Tagliabue
was against.
Wouldn't do.
Right. Right.
Does that change
so
your opinion?
Which you know really is the argument for waiting, mm-hmm. have him wait just like everybody else, even to get on the ballot. So I could see that kind of reasoning, but you know he wasn't media friendly.
But Adam Schefter said before it was announced, he said on the NFL Network that would happen. He said he would. So many people in the media were turned off by Tagliabue that it could affect him getting in, and you know, and there's another like you were saying.
That's another argument for waiting 5 years because
right.
if someone thinks like that today, they might not think like that in 5 years.
Right.
They might say, "Well, you know what? The guy's been gone. It's been 5 years since he blew me
right.
off.
Right.
You know, I don't even remember anymore."
But and then Schefter said something else that Paul and I thought was interesting, that Art Monk, one of the arguments against him in the room is name a memorable catch Art Monk made. I don't know. Roger Worley made it. Name a memorable play Roger Worley made.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, that's your argument?
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all.
You know, so something's got to be done because this is just too important to these guys.
But it's never going to be perfect. You can't.
No, it'll never be perfect.
It'll never be perfect.
And there'll always be guys you can debate. whether they should be in or not.
And which gets to my bigger problem of all these Halls of Fames. You know my standards. Yep. If there is a debate, he doesn't get in.
So you don't think Tip should be in?
No.
Okay.
Based on that, he should not get in.
That was Fred Kirsch.
But no, but then I'm taking away 80% of the people that are in
Fred's
there,
taking out a bunch of players.
Well, that's my argument for the whole thing about Richard Dent and those guys, and there was four guys who were pass rushers, so it took away
different positions.
Well, if you're debating it, then none of them should be even if it's that narrow a margin that they're hurting, then they're not Hall of Famers.
Right, but the bar that they've set to get in there, some of them should be. I mean, Tippett should be based on the bar that's been set
but
for the Hall of Fame.
I agree with Andy. Dent played right end. Dean played left end.
Right.
Tippett played left outside linebacker. Thomas played right outside linebacker. How are these guys similar in any way whatsoever other than they had sacks?
Right.
That didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, King says that they cancel each other out, but you don't. That's
not
how you
works.
Look at it.
No.
How dumb is Peter King?
And another thing we talked a lot about was the problem in the coverage. Watching it, they never mentioned Andre Tippett. Never saw any video of Andre Tippett. They talked to like three or four guys. There's no video out there of Andre Tippett being dominating. And anyone who remembers him playing, he was. There's highlights that you could put together, an incredible highlight video, and we never see it.
And Andy, I have a theory on that. I don't know if you guys agree, but the 80s was kind of the lost era in ESPN because it was when it was starting up, but it wasn't quite ESPN. So you have the past, the older guys where people like to talk about, you know, well, back then, you know, Mel Blount. So you hear about them. Then from the early 90s on, you have the ESPN hype machine. And I think guys like Monk and Tippett kind of get hurt a little bit because they're in that in-between stage where ESPN didn't push these people down your throat.
Right.
Like you talk to most people, they think Derek Thomas is a surefire Hall of Famer. I say if he gets in, I'll never go to the Hall of Fame. That's how adamant I am that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Or a parade.
Yeah. So anyway, that was...
Imagine if there was a parade at the Hall of Fame.
That was unfortunate. But, like I said, Tippett still has years of eligibility left. And the word is that if you get to that list of 10, you got a pretty good shot down the road.
But what about... So all four of them got to the list of 10.
I know.
They say they cancel out. Now they're supposed to all have a pretty good shot?
I know. So I don't know.
Plus, Tip wants to get in while he's still young.
Yeah.
Well, I said, eventually you'll make it. He goes, damn, I'll be 90 and dying by then.
No, I don't know about that. I think once the 15's over, I think that's it. Because then you have to be brought up by the Veterans Committee. And I think that's a long shot.
See, I think he would make it as a Veterans Committee guy eventually.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think players
when he's 90, like you said.
Yeah, when he's 90. It'll be a long time. But, I mean, he's still got, when did he retire, 93?
Yeah.
So we're 14 years from that. So he's still got another 11 years on the ballot before he even goes to Veteran Committee.
Well, he started becoming eligible in 98.
Oh, wait. Yeah. So even more than that. Yeah, you go from 98. So he's got
a bunch
of years.
He's got, no, just 6 years.
6 years. You're on the ballot for 15 years, right?
Oh, he told me it was 25.
Oh.
Really?
I thought it was 15.
Didn't he tell me the other day when I asked him 25?
When did Roger Worley retire? Does anyone know roughly?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, he retired in the 70s.
Yeah, Tip told me it was 25 years.
Maybe 25 years.
And this
maybe
was early 80s.
This was Roger Worley's last year
on the
ballot.
Right, so that would have been like 82.
Yeah, so,
so he's got another 16 years on the ballot.
Okay, well, that's good.
But the problem is, every year there's these, you know, Jerry Rice, Tim Brown,
yeah,
all these big-name
guys.
And guys
are coming
shoo-ins, you know.
And you're still battling Tagliabue. And
I have a lot of problems with the whole Hall of Fame thing, kind of like Fred, you know, limits on the amount that can make it on any given year doesn't make any sense to
doesn't
me whatsoever.
Make any sense.
The
fact that you have to
thing.
Have a certain amount.
Right.
There's a minimum. I think there's three, right?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense
to
me.
A guy should, you know, but again, it goes back to my thinking. You're either a Hall of Famer or you're not.
Like Andy just brought up, you know, like the problem that Tippett has is that, you know, certain years all of a sudden a Jerry Rice or a Tim Brown pops up on the ballot. Well, let's just say for argument's sake that 12 of those guys pop up on the ballot in the same year.
They
well,
should all
doing?
Get in. Some of them have to sit out 1 year.
I mean, you can try to tell me, let's just say there's six Jerry Rices in 1 year. You know, that caliber of player, that you know, or seven. One of them is out?
Yeah.
Come on.
Worley did retire in 82, so this 82? Was 25 years.
This was his last year.
So it is 25.
All right. Okay.
So Tip's got a long time to go.
I think baseball might be 15.
Okay. I don't know where I came up with that.
I like Fred's. I mean, I just think you look at a guy to say, like, he's a Hall. Like, I think the stuff about Michael Irvin is stupid. I think Michael Irvin is a Hall of Famer. I think it, and it's not Andy thinks it, Paul thinks it. He was one of the top two or three receivers for close to a decade. If you're one of that's Hall of Fame material. I mean, he was dominant. And I just think that belongs in. And I think Tippett is the exact same thing. He was the second best linebacker for 8 to 9 years behind the best of all time.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how that doesn't get you in.
That's the part that I don't understand is this, you know, when Tippett played, I distinctly remember him being universally regarded as a hair below Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Taylor is this revolutionizing player who dominated. And I'm not taking anything away from Lawrence Taylor because I think that every accolade that you could throw his way, he deserves. He was that good. But I distinctly remember throughout the 80s, Lawrence Taylor being considered, I mean, Andre Tippett being considered right up with Lawrence Taylor, just a notch below that. So one guy is an automatic and the other guy can't get in.
Right.
And another problem I think we've unearthed. I don't think players like Andre Tippett because we were talking about it with him upstairs. Shouldn't Dan Marino be saying,
yeah,
we were scared as hell of Andre Tippett? I never heard Dan Marino talking about Andre Tippett.
Well, it was
or
Boomer Esiason. No, but these guys come out.
Yeah, they say all kinds
Andre
of crap.
Andre Reed should be in. And
Marino, in particular, you would think would talk a lot about Tippett because he played against them twice a year every year.
But I never hear anyone talking about Tippett.
I've never heard his name uttered by anybody during that whole weekend. I never heard the name Andre Tippett except when they read the list, and they included everybody.
Even the sweating pig who said everybody should be in never mentioned him.
Dukes.
Jamie Dukes.
It was embarrassing, I thought. And I think that the Patriots PR department has to be more aggressive. You know, start sending out more videos. Paul, I believe you made the comment this was the first year they did that, and it got them to the final 10.
First year, I can remember them doing it, right, Fred?
Right, they put that binder out and everything.
They definitely stepped it up this year. I know that Mr. Kraft talked to a lot of people. I know that Stacey James orchestrated a lot of, reading information, put a binder together. Coach Belichick even wrote a letter on his behalf. So I know that this was the first year that I can remember those kinds of things going on. They need to step it up. I think that Tom and Andy watched a lot of the stuff, and I think you did too, Fred, on NFL Network, and they could not find
anything,
any video of Tippett.
Next year, the binder needs to include DVD. You need to make sure ESPN, NFL Network have large video packages ready to go of him, and then I still say they should go with my little Heisman Trophy-like idea of tips. Send every voter good steak tips that come in a package and have a video highlight on top. They do it in college. They send you all these quirky things for when a school's trying to promote a high. Ryan Leaf, they had like fancy Leafs that they sent out.
He's making these jokes. He's absolutely right about the college thing. You know how much stuff I used to get at the Herald? Yeah. And I wasn't even
voter. Send it to you?
Because I used to vote for stuff. I used to vote for the Naismith Award in basketball. I used to vote in like the 1AA poll. I was down as a college football writer. I never had a Heisman vote, but I used to get all kinds of stuff in the mail.
Tips. Send them the steak tips, and you'll pick up a couple voters you might need. Put you over the top.
All right. Well, that's we'll move on. But next year we'll pick this up again when it comes time.
Because, good rant though, Freddie. Good rant.
We got to get him in.
I agree.
It would be good for him, obviously, and good for the organization, Patriots fans,
and that's
to have another true Patriot.
That's got to be a gut-wrenching process. Oh. He was telling us how he was sitting there, you know, watching it on the NFL Network, and
kicked everybody out of his house.
Yeah, when his name wasn't mentioned in the final six. I mean, I can't even imagine going through that.
Yeah,
I felt it. I was just watching it too.
I was going nuts.
I got a little giddy when he made the 11, and then
they mentioned down to 11, and you know his name was like last because he was T. And
right,
doing an alphabetical
which
order,
I think also screws him.
Yeah, and
every time they showed the pages, it's always the first page, and then he's got to wait till the second or third page of the list of guys.
Why not go by first names?
Why not go by most sacks on the list?
All right. Well, okay. Let's get to some emails. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Zimmerman got screwed, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't have a sack.
So you got guys at T and Z getting screwed.
Zimmerman was on two all-decade teams.
Right. Not good enough?
Didn't make the final 10.
Jeez.
He was one of the first cuts.
Well, I'm all worked up.
Before you move on, the other thing that we should probably throw out there was what we were talking about when we talked about it in the office is the disparity between offensive and defensive players. Something needs to be done about that.
Yeah, it's harder to make the case for defensive players. So, you know, I'm surprised as many offensive linemen are in it.
who say that don't get respect, they should shut the heck up.
Yeah.
Because there's about 100 of them in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Webradio@patriots.com. Get to some emails here. This first one's from Nick. And he says, that was the second worst Super Bowl I've ever watched. Last year's was the worst in my mind. I found it quite unsatisfying. I didn't want Manning to win just because I'm a pretty big New England fan, but still, that second half was like a sleeping pill. I did a little math, and by my count, Rex ends up with a mid-60s quarterback rating. That is still three times the rating Big Ben got last year. I think he should have been the game MVP. His trips, muff snaps, and interceptions did more for the Colts than Manning did. Did Manning seem happy to you guys when they were getting the trophy?
No.
He seemed like he didn't want it. I think about Steve Young and even Tom when they won. In fact, he looked like Bledsoe did when Tom was jumping on him. The only thing that I was happy with when the game was all over was the fact that I didn't have to see Bill Polian holding the Lombardi trophy and that I won $110 in a numbers pool. Can't wait for all your draft updates and reports. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, it seemed like to me the Colts were more relieved. Like, God, we finally did it.
Yeah, I didn't watch that post-game stuff, but is that true? He didn't look too
That's
I mean the
that
whole
emailer
team.
And Tom are not the only ones that made
I'm
that
talking
observation
about the whole
about
team, though. I'm not singling out Manning. I'm talking about the team as a whole. Like, usually the guys are jumping. They kind of were like, whew, you know, we got it.
Wow.
Finally. Because the Colts have been, I think some teams, like the Patriots, weren't supposed to do
it. Well, their Super Bowl was the week before, 2 weeks before when they beat the Patriots.
Right, and I think they were probably pretty confident coming in that they could do a lot of things against the Bears, and they were in a no-win situation. I mean, if they lose that game, here we go again,
right.
And they can't win
right.
the big
good,
one.
That's a good point.
So I think it was more, right off the bat, it was more relief. Thank God, we got it.
And I also think Peyton's personality is doesn't lend itself to this
Dungy.
Big explosion. I mean, that's who they are. They're kind of reserved. They're kind of quiet and go about their business.
I also thought he never wiped that smile off his face the whole time he was on that podium. Now, he wasn't jumping around. He didn't have that look of amazement that Tom did on the first one, and we all remember when he put his hands on his head. But he had this smile on his face, and I do agree with Tom. It was a lot of – you could see – the relief on his face, but I just thought it was satisfaction, more so than any like elation or anything like that. He had such a satisfied look, and I thought, thumbs up to everybody, whoever was behind. I assume it's CBS and the NFL. Thumbs up for keeping the microphone away from Polian. I thought that was great.
How about Adam Vinatieri though? He goes from the Patriots and immediately wins another Super
that's
Bowl.
Four.
That's pretty amazing.
I found out. I think Haley is the only one with five. Charles Haley has five rings. Now Vinatieri and Matt Millen, I think, have four.
Well, don't they
Romanowski.
Say that Wojcik that has six? That's the most of
right.
anybody
well, of
ever,
any,
ever
of coaches.
Right? So
yes,
right. The other thing, people keep comparing it to Tom's first quote unquote Super Bowl. A little bit of a difference between winning a Super Bowl on the kick as time expires and how you're going to react, as to controlling a game and winning.
When
I mean,
it was
there's
over,
a different
being
feeling.
Up, being
quarter.
Up 12 points for the last
right.
11 minutes of
the game was over. So,
that's
I mean,
true.
There's a big difference between that and watching a ball sail through the uprights, and
right.
instantaneously
and,
you either win or lose.
But, and maybe it was the camera work, but I know even in some blowouts, though, they'd show the sidelines, and guys were like, you know, just, I don't know, doing all kinds of different things. Maybe they just didn't show the Colts sideline. That's why.
I heard
maybe
that.
Maybe the Cowboys didn't
a lot
expect
of the,
to win 52-17, and they had to mess up Jimmy Johnson's
a lot
team because they weren't expecting
because
it.
Because of the weather, a lot of the cameras
they
that usually they use for crowd shots and things like that, you know, the B-roll shots, they couldn't use because they were all fogged up and wet.
Well, they had a lot of problems,
Yeah. Overall, Jim Nance's first broadcast for a Super Bowl, I thought he was pretty good.
I think he's so bad, I can't
oh,
even,
really?
I
you
can't
don't
even,
like him?
I can't even put into words how bad
I don't mind him.
I thought he was okay.
I don't really care.
The most important thing that's going on in the stadium at all times is what Jim Nance says, according to Jim Nance.
Well, it's all those
well,
broadcasts.
I'm sure he's got an ego.
I have no use for him.
I'm not big or – I don't really care about announcers all that much unless they're terrible.
Unless they're bad.
Unless they're terrible.
But, the people I was with, a lot of people commented that they didn't like the duo. They found him very boring and didn't like him.
I find Phil Simms gets a lot of criticism, too. Now, I kind of like him, so I guess I don't want to align myself with everybody. I don't like Jim Nance.
See, I like Simms, but I didn't think he had his best day on the Sunday.
No, I thought he was late with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he was. And the thing I have to say, because we always get on it, A-plus for the officials.
Yep.
You barely noticed that they were on the field. I mean, great job by the officials not, you know, getting too involved in the game and making these stupid calls.
Although I thought they missed a ton of holding calls. Ton of holding calls.
Now, see, that crew, they said before the game, called the most holding calls against the Bears all year long.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And they had a...
Was there one?
Huh?
There was only one,
Yeah,
right?
But they called... four holding offensive holding calls against the Bears in like the two or three games they did, and the Bears only had 15 throughout the entire
right.
season.
And they, but I yeah, and they only I don't know. I holding is one of those things.
I just saw a lot of guys.
You're talking about a running plays, I assume.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't.
I thought those guys were getting killed. Quite honestly, if you're talking about the Bears guys.
Plus, that's the, you know, you play that defense. You ask an awful lot of that front four. You ask them to put pressure on the pass, or you ask them to stop the run. I think you ask a lot out of that front four when you're playing a passing team like that, and you're retreating. I mean, you how many times at the snap did they show like that? You know the end zone camera that shows from behind the quarterback, and you'd see Urlacher as soon as the ball was snapped, he'd be already backpedaling.
Right.
So if they're on a running play, that's a 5-yard gain. You know, and if you end up getting someone downfield to block him, then you get big plays.
A lot of people thought Urlacher didn't show up. I thought he had a pretty good game, considering.
I thought he played well to do what he was asked to do.
Yeah,
right. Paul's right. He was asked to be downfield. And he grew frustrated. You could see him getting frustrated that all they were doing was letting a die catch the ball.
Well, at one point, did he yell at his own sideline?
Yes. It was like he wanted to start being aggressive, do something. We're just letting them do what they want to do, and he didn't want to be a part of that. But I didn't think he missed a ton of plays.
And you know what I heard, too, Ian? This is kind of interesting. Ron Rivera gets a lot of this coverage. I hear that Ron Rivera, he played for the Bears.
Right.
I hear he actually likes to be a little bit more aggressive, but Lovie Smith is so devoted to the cover, too.
Right.
And they kind of don't want to say butt heads, but they have some
philosophical differences.
And so
we'll see Rivera being aggressive with the Cowboys.
Well, that's one of the things. People are wondering, how can you run a cover two when Roy Williams is on your team? You can't. That's the answer to that.
He makes him the extra linebacker in the 46.
But the thing is, if Rivera gets that job, there's talk they're going to bring Singletary on as defensive coordinator and have a much more aggressive scheme, that this is actually how Lovie Smith wants the defense to be run.
Well, I think what's-his-name's going to get Turner's going to get this.
Well, he's the favorite.
He said he wanted control of the staff. So does that mean Garrett's going to get fired before ever coaching a game?
No, he said beforehand he would have brought Garrett on.
Oh, okay.
So he's safe.
So it's nice and convenient.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have brought him on anyway. But I actually heard this morning Mike and Mike were talking about Rivera and the possibility that he's, you know, still could be the defensive coordinator, and that he may very well just adopt the 3-4. Like that he's not married to – that's how much he's not married to that Tampa 2 scheme.
Good
call. They could see him just keeping the 3-4. They have the personnel already, obviously. Now, if it was Singletary and Rivera, I could see them doing the 46.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they obviously know as much about it as anybody, and I think they have the personnel to do it.
All right. Chris writes in, the blame is all on Lovey's, talking about the game, obviously. The pick, the worst possible game plan. He picked the worst possible game plan, trying to stop Peyton Manning. The Colts running was able to roam free, getting passes from the backfield and running through the gut of the Bears' defense. And one of my points, I mentioned that the Bears should stop the Colts' running game and then force the Colts to be one-dimensional. I'm extremely disappointed with the Bears as they were spotted the 7 points when the game started. The Colts had to play from behind, which is in the Bears' favor, but Lovie the idiot had to pass the ball so often with Rex during the start of the game, which did not make sense. The sky was pouring, and you have a good running game, a really bad run defensive team. I am not sure what Lovie was thinking. Goes on to say that Jones got the ball only 15 times, and he tagged the Colts for 112 yards. If they stick to the normal game plan, they would have controlled the time of possession and worn out the Colts' defense, where they can start sticking to Rex into a position where he can succeed.
I totally disagree with that email.
I do as well.
Where's all this throwing? Because I saw a 3rd and 4 that they had to get, and they ran Thomas Jones up the freaking middle, and he got a 1-yard gain. They didn't have the football. How many passes did Rex Grossman throw in the first half? 10? Because he ended up with 20?
He was 20 for 28.
Right. He had 20 completions.
For a game that they were losing the entire second
and
half.
12, I believe it was 11 or 12 of those completions came on the final two drives of the game when the Colts were in prevent. So I just don't think they had the football. And when they did try to run it after that big run by Thomas Jones, they were getting stuffed in the backfield.
Okay, the other part that I'll disagree, Tom talked about the Bears' offense. I'll disagree with criticizing the Bears' defensive game plan. First of all, I don't really see how much more you can ask out of your defense than allowing 22 points.
Right.
Okay,
being on the field for 40 minutes, and they allowed
22 points. That's number one. Now, was that game plan better or worse than the Patriots' one that allowed 38?
Right. No, I think the defense did everything they could
to keep them in the game. They died with 11 minutes to go.
Why would you ever go into a game against the Indianapolis Colts and say to yourself, I really need to stop their running game.
I'll make take my chances with Peyton Manning.
What do you think you do if you go out there determined to stop the running game? What do you think Peyton Manning's going to do?
He's going to bomb away.
This emailer goes on to say, Manning, the MVP, you got to be kidding.
He should have been.
MVP was Dominic Rhodes.
No, he wasn't.
He goes on to say all
that. Stiff.
He said Rex had better stats than Manning. This is just the media.
No, he did not.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever read.
That is the most idiotic comment of all time.
Blow that email up. Yeah, we have a blow-up button.
Stop reading it.
This is the media trying to crown Manning the greatest player that ever lived. I'm sick of this crap.
Stop reading. That means blown
up. Yeah, that's like the 142 yards Tom Brady had when Ty Law and Adam Vinatieri should have been ahead of him for MVP in that game.
And they were, by the way, in the vote.
So there you go.
Meet the online
Chris,
thing.
Chris
Brady
is obviously very bitter because...
Is that Chris Ferreira?
He says,
super
he
fan.
Sends another email that says that the Colts are the most untested Super Bowl champion ever.
I agree. Yeah. They played the Patriots.
And, yeah, they only beat the number 1, 2, and 3 defenses in football this past year.
I agree with him.
Never happened before.
Paul, I agree, because I think if they played the Chargers like they should have, when the Patriots got lucky to beat them, they would have lost. So playing the Patriots, I agree. They were untested.
Most untested champ ever. They played the 1 seed in the NFC and the 2 2 and 4 in the AFC. So they didn't play the 1 seed in the AFC.
He said they beat a crippled Patriots in the second half. And he said
Why were they crippled?
You could call me a Manning hater or a Patriots sore loser, but it still remains the fact that Manning is a choke artist.
Just a loser.
Enjoy your fake MVP and Super Bowl ring because it will be the only one you ever get, you loser.
He'll go down as the second greatest quarterback of all time, though.
Emails like that, that's why people hate us.
Hate us?
Yeah, New England. That's why the national perception is that people root for the Patriots to lose. That's why.
I think there's sore losers on every team.
Yeah, I think more so here.
Let's see. Ryan from Fredericton, Brunswick. We didn't talk about Ted Johnson.
One quick thing, Fred.
Yeah.
That defense that was so bad, with 11 minutes to go, they were down by 5. If you told the Bears before the game, fourth quarter, 11 minutes to go, you're going to have the ball close to midfield, down by 5, I say they, all right,
look,
we'll take
all
those
I know
chances.
Is that
22 points.
With the exception of a Corey Dillon run and Jones breaking free for a run, every time teams tried to run against this team in the playoffs, they stopped them.
Must be.
I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
Booger McFarland.
Jones had that.
Booger flicked the switch. Yeah. Booger goes, it's postseason, I'm trying now.
Jones had that 52-yard run? 53-yard run. That was it. That was the only success. And I'll tell you, a lot of the other yardage that he ended up getting
was at the end.
You know, the second to last play, you know, when they set up a nice running play off tackle, he must have run for about 20 yards. I mean, thank you very much.
Playing the role of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chicago Bears. You want to run, we'll let you run all you want.
I think I saw Tony Dungy on the sideline saying,
we're winning, right? 12, right? What's going on here?
Well, earlier there was news last week of Ted Johnson and having problems with his concussion and all this stuff about Belichick forcing him to play with a concussion and so on and so forth. So that's unfortunate news for Johnson. He's having trouble.
So are you.
Ryan says, I was disturbed to read about the precipitous decline of Ted Johnson. The guy retired, suffered post-concussion syndrome, got divorced, and isn't stable enough to keep speaking engagements with the team. This dramatic decline seems truly epic in my mind. Can you guys talk about what you remember about him when he played? Was there anything in his behavior and demeanor that made you anticipate him losing it after he retired? Can you think of other examples where Patriot players retired or got cut and promptly lost it, go nuts, or fell apart? Is this business really that hard on these guys? Or is this just that great athletes are produced with all manners of personality, including unstable? Are there players on the team now that you worry about what will happen to them when they can't play football anymore?
Teddy Bruschi.
Maybe I'm speaking for myself here, but I don't think that these problems are having anything to do with Ted's personality. I think that this is something that, you know, the greater part of his problem are a result of brain damage.
I'm not sure.
Well, no one knows. No one knows definitively.
That's why I said at the top. Maybe I'm speaking for myself, but I think to just put their signs that you see in someone that they're going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
I don't think that's why Ted Johnson's.
We don't know.
Right
we weren't that close to Ted to know what his personal habits were.
Absolutely.
Right.
But there are certain people who are just have addictive personalities.
Right.
Whether it's addicted to their job or gambling or alcohol.
I'm talking about
the severe
depression.
But you don't know. Part of that is that happens to a lot of players just because for 20 years they've been a football player and that's their identity. And all of a sudden, what do I do now?
You know,
career's over.
The Olympic athletes, I know at least one Olympic athlete, he told me that they have therapists set up so when these people finish their Olympic career, they can go into counseling. Because what do you do?
And they are the NFL is doing that more now. I forgot the guy's name who has started. There's a foundation that they're really trying to get involved with more and more players. You know, obviously the Andre Waters situation brought a lot of this to the forefront.
The wrestler?
What?
The wrestler?
What wrestler?
Is that the guy who started?
No, he's just doing concussions. Oh, this is a post-football, what do you do now kind of foundation, dealing with depression, dealing with guys searching to find, you know, outlets for, you know, some of the guys, you see guys with like physical problems because they're used to banging into people and having a physical release and all these issues. And Outside the Lines on ESPN did a long thing on it. And I was telling Tom, there was a guy who played left tackle for the Packers, actually, when they beat the Patriots. A young guy, played 4 or 5 years and then hurt his knee, and his career was over soon after that. And he's had a lot of issues with depression. His wife thought he was suicidal. And one of the things he said is a guy came up to him in a bar, and let's just say his name is Joe Schmo, and said, "Didn't you used to be Joe Schmo?" And the guy was like, "Well, I still am Joe Schmo. It's just I'm not the football player anymore."
Right.
And how these guys have, even Elway, they did a thing on him, the problems he had when his dad passed away and his divorce. And, you know, still, these guys, they don't always, aren't always able to make the transition into
right.
the next step.
And it's a big transition. You go from being at the top of the world, top of your profession, to just.
Right. And now you add in brain damage, post-concussion
yeah.
syndrome, other issues, and it's a dangerous cocktail.
I'm surprised we don't hear about it more, and I'll bet you that there's more that we don't hear
about. You will.
About. Oh,
you yeah. will. It's just like anything. I mean, the concussion issue in and of itself has been around forever, but now we're starting to hear about it more and the damage it can do. And,
sure.
you know, we were Paul and I were talking about it. They had that wrestler that Tom was, Chris Nowinski, wrote a book about it. They had him on EEI lately in Boston. And just when you think about it as yourself, just as a kid playing football or high school football, and, well, did I have concussions? There were times when you're groggy or you go to the wrong sideline or whatever. You know, do you have concussions? And it makes you think, and me as about to be a parent, it's kind of a scary thing when you think about a kid.
Especially your kids.
Yeah,
with
their
heads.
That's a big concussion.
Trying to be serious here, and we're making fun of my head.
Be prone to concussions.
Maybe there's extra padding in here somewhere.
Stewie.
Just kidding.
But there are two things I wanted to add, Andy, was people are getting on that Chris Nowinski because he's making money off of this. That doesn't matter. I mean, I have diabetes, and if I spoke somewhere for $10,000, it
right.
doesn't mean I'm not passionate about what I'm saying,
right.
and I don't believe what I'm
saying. You got to make a living, and you got
to... Yeah, I mean... I don't. If he wants to make money, fine. But I think what he is passionate about this because it
right.
happened to him.
I was going
to
say he didn't join wrestling to get concussions.
Right.
Saying, you know what? After I get concussions, I'll
make
money on it. I mean, it just kind of unfolded. He was a smart guy. He saw an area that's not really all that well known about, and there's not a lot of research, and he's working at it. So, you know, I thought what was really interesting is the guy on the Bills was. Remember, he wore the double helmet.
Kelso.
It was actually more damaging. They found out now that you're really? Better off with hard-on-hard glancing blows because
right.
it deflects off. The soft actually makes it
sticks.
Hit dead on, and it makes
Good
for
job,
a worse
Mark.
Hit. Right. So, but, you know, they were trying at the time. That's how
right.
it's sort of in the infant stages of what concussions are and how to avoid them and all.
And the best thing is put them back to leather helmets, and then they won't be throwing their heads around
well,
like that.
That's what they're talking about. Is there any way to, you know, get rid of all helmet-to-helmet hits and – if you tried, it would be a mess for a while, but could you eventually get away from that?
Too big and too fast.
Yeah.
Too big and too fast. We go to that combine, Andy, we see those guys.
Yeah,
we see these guys 270 running 4.740s. It can't be done now.
But,
too big and too fast.
I mean, that's one of the arguments is that because of the comfort that comes with having big helmets, big shoulder pads, that these guys fly around more.
Sure.
And sports like rugby, where they don't have as many head-to-head hits because the guys are more tentative.
And it's not even the head-to-head hits. It's the force that they hit the ground. Your head's going to hit the ground. You know, a lot of times it's...
But now you're talking about changing the entire game,
right.
the nature of the game.
But even soccer, I mean, there was a whole movement in soccer to ban heading because of kids heading their whole life and that repeated, you know, movement of the brain because of that. Now they have these little things that they can wear. Sort of protects you, you know, but nobody likes wearing it because you look like an idiot, you know. But we don't understand the brain.
Right.
We don't understand how the brain works.
But you also get back to, and I know this was brought up in the Ted Johnson thing, personal responsibility and where that comes in. And do you play a sport understanding there's some risk involved, whether it's football or boxing, or, you know, is it the boxer's fault that if he gets brain damage in the ring? Well, you know, he knew there was a certain risk in going into boxing, so there's some of that.
Yeah,
the one thing about Ted Johnson is we got a lot of emails about, well, how bad could he be if he wanted to come back? He said he was.
Well, that shows
back.
How bad he
right.
was.
So right. So wouldn't it stand to reason if you had some kind of brain damage that one day you would think you could play in the NFL again and
right.
the next you couldn't get out
right.
of bed?
Yeah.
Plus,
exactly.
And I keep getting back to this whole lack of an identity thing. He said as soon as Sayal got hurt, he got 10 or 15 phone calls. Well, maybe that made him feel worse in that none of these people called me for the last year. Now all of a sudden they yeah. see an opportunity and they're like, hey, he's a football player again. Well, are you my friend or did you like Ted Johnson, the football player? And some of that identity crisis.
He also
issue.
Talked about a little of that being, and I heard Nowinski talk about, you know, because he obviously has had a lot of dealings with Ted. He's saying a lot of that was tongue in cheek to
right.
start with. And the other part is that he absolutely, in no way, shape, or form, would be suited to play in the NFL right,
right
now. He's not in shape. He said flatly he's a drug addict right now.
Yeah.
And he would not be able to play NFL football. He said part of that was kind of, you know, he's on the radio and
sure,
it's
sure.
over the top kind
right,
of
right, you get caught up in the whole.
Right.
And
right.
And I did hear it. He didn't say it in a joking way.
No.
But I don't necessarily think he meant it to be taken yeah. literally. Yeah.
I also don't think he sounds like Ted Johnson anymore.
Didn't sound anything like him.
When I heard the clip the first time, I thought there was something wrong with the audio or
well,
it didn't sound
you,
like
though, it. It's a shame because was there a nicer guy?
Tremendous.
I still love the guy.
I mean, we you know, we have interactions with a lot of players, and some of them are jerks.
But
some,
not many.
Some
that
of them
were
will not give
him.
You the time of day. But Ted would always do that. He'd always take the time to talk to you.
Yep.
Just a nice guy. And
he probably yeah. wouldn't. yeah. I mean, it's. I think Andy touched on it too, and I agree that there's definitely responsibility on the player's part because you have to be able to. You're a man. You have to stand up and protect yourself. Responsibility on the coach's part because you have to take what the medical staff has given you and you got to abide by it. And right. then I think the biggest piece goes to the medical staff.
Yes.
Because you have to be able to be strong enough to stand up and say to the coach, this guy had a concussion 4 days ago.
Yeah.
He can't practice today. He can't have any
yeah.
contact.
You
and
know.
And I think it's a hard thing because, you know, the training staffs know that if they do that too often, they're going to fall out of favor
sure.
with the coaching staff. And I don't necessarily blame the coach either because he's not going to be around long. I talked to a college player about this, and he says as soon as they become college coaches was the way he put it, and his livelihood now depends on wins and losses.
Right.
That's when you're in trouble because now there's a lot of pressure on the coach to win.
You know,
and he's not necessarily saying, you know what? If I put this guy back out here, you know, 15 years from now, he might be in trouble.
And that's why there's been talk of having some sort of external medical overseer.
I was just about to say that, having an impartial
yes.
NFL doctor on the sideline. But to me, I was thinking about that. With what we know about concussions now, that you would never, ever be able to send a guy back out there. You would always have to say he can't go back out. So why bother having him there? Because there's no evaluation that you can do on a sideline that can determine what the effect of the concussion
right.
is.
Two
right.
months.
So as right, unless we come up with some new technological device where we can put it on the sideline, do a scan of his brain, and immediately know. But these things don't happen until 2 days.
But
to
I would rather have
later.
I would rather have that situation, Fred, than a situation where you have this quack from the Jets who's supposedly at the forefront of this. Putting guys out there, he did it again this year.
Right.
Lavernius Coles.
Right.
He yeah. put a guy, I mean, he basically ended Wayne Krabet's career.
But the bottom line is if you have a concussion or you have a blow to the head, you're out. That
right.
They've just got to make that rule.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's
and,
not even the determination that's made.
Ron
you're
Burgess
out.
Gets a lot of static around here for his outrageous opinions. But he it's very simple. In boxing, if you get a concussion, 90 days
right.
minimum.
Yeah, but
you can't even spar.
The thing about boxing is you get a concussion while you're boxing and you don't even know it.
But,
you know,
I'm saying if you're classified as having a concussion,
yeah.
you cannot even spar again for yeah. 90 days.
Yeah.
And the hard thing
we're talking about 4 days.
And the hard thing about Ted Johnson where everyone says, well, he should have Well, that's tough because you know, unless we're talking about this current crop of Patriots linebackers, you know there's always someone behind you waiting to take over. You know
right.
what I mean?
No, it's true.
And if you spend some time off the field with a guy like Belichick, Parcells, those type of coaches, hey, yep. they might find a younger guy.
He'll be the next Wally Pipp.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah. When so you, it's hard to say, keep these, well, he should have taken himself out. Football players aren't built that way.
No, you're built to withstand pain. That's a badge of honor.
Well, you saw that part of the quote.
It's a badge of honor.
Right. I wasn't going to let them beat me.
Yep.
Well, I mean, that's honorable and everything, but you did let them beat you. You let them put you back out in the field and it hurt you.
But that's, I mean,
but I can understand.
When you're in the environment
absolutely.
And that.
Sure it is.
And they did it. Think about how it was done. It was done out on the
right.
field in front of all his teammates.
Right.
Now he's almost punking out.
I mean,
if
look,
he doesn't go
we
out
got a play. Commercial. It's a funny commercial, but it glorifies the guy sitting in the trainer's table having his dislocated finger
right.
pop back
yeah.
in while he barely grimaces, you know, and the other non-football player can't
right.
even handle that and passes out. Well, that's the mentality that football players are expected to have.
You wouldn't
you
make
play
it in pro
through
football.
Pain.
But Paul
you know?
Brought up. The comparison to boxing, where it's always the state athletic commission, you have to be licensed by it to fight in Nevada or New Jersey, whatever. Why, if it's the state athletic commission,
yep.
why don't they have any power in any other sports to make sure a guy is healthy enough to compete in his?
No, it's the boxing.
It's not really the state
no,
athletic
it's
commission?
Not a state athletic. They call it that, but it only has to do with boxing.
Because why couldn't you have something like that? And I'm not even thinking just for the Patriots in Massachusetts. I'm saying, you know, is there any chance that the state of Massachusetts becomes liable if some player from another team comes in and
well,
dies on the field?
That's exactly why you don't have that. That's why a state would never want that, is because you would be liable. You know, no one wants to take responsibility.
Well,
for
somebody
this.
Needs to.
Well, the other part of it, too, in the NFL, the Players Association is never going to really submit to any of this stuff because they'll take their chances.
Right.
The players
yeah.
will take their – they understand, you know, the risks, and they're willing to
right.
abide by them. Because if you think about it, if you're like a – let's say you're a 31, 32-year-old guy, and you maybe have a couple of years left, and you get a concussion, well, you're done.
Right.
Because –
but at some level,
let's say
people above them need to say, well, I understand how you feel, but we need to look out for you as a human being,
right.
the greater good
let me,
of man.
Let me know
but
when that
players,
happens.
Right.
But the Players Association is about the players.
No, I know.
Do you know what I'm saying? So they.
But somebody needs to look at the
themselves.
Player as a human being, not just
oh,
as the guy who wears number 52
totally
and lines
agree.
Up and smashes his head.
And obviously that guy isn't the head of the Players
right.
Association who.
That's
you know,
part
so,
of the problem,
so
too.
So succinctly you know, put it last week that the past players aren't the ones that keep me in office.
Right.
You know. I couldn't wish enough bad things on Gene Upshaw, by the way.
But, Andy, you're right. I mean, Buddy Ryan never called his players by name. He called them by number. When they
right.
asked him why, he said, because I don't know if they'll be here tomorrow.
Right.
Why should I learn their names? That's coaching.
Let's see. TG and NJ says, I guess this email is best answered by Tom since he works as a double agent for the Colts.
True.
You have to admit that they are the best team in football now. They seem to be overflowing with talent at every position. Are they poised to start their own dynasty?
No.
According to Don Banks at SI, quote, no other team in the NFL is in worse shape than the Colts, who have a bevy of potential free agents on their roster and are projected to be less than $5 million under the $109 million cap. The key Colts who are scheduled for free agency include both starting cornerbacks, both starting guards, both starting outside linebackers, and running back Dominic Rhodes. Are there any Colt free agents that
wait,
the Freeney
too?
Yeah, Freeney.
Yeah.
Are there any Colts free agents that the Patriots would be interested in? If they can take our kicker, can we take their running back or corners, linebackers? Would any of these players be a fit in our system?
How about Mike Doss?
He's hurt a lot, but that's what they need, another injured defensive back. But I probably am the best person to answer this only because I'm the newest person here, so I was most recently a fan. And I can tell you this, trust me, you guys don't know anything about the salary cap. When I was sitting at home and I thought, like, when I read this stuff, I know about the salary cap. I don't. And I'm
right.
not even on the same party yet with Paul and Andy when it comes to knowing about the salary cap.
And we're not anywhere on the par that you need to be
right.
in order to.
And you know what? There's a lot of people that are dealing with the salary cap who don't really know enough about the salary cap.
So you can't look at the Colts and say they're $5 million because, as Andy and I and Paul were talking earlier, all that has to do to change. A 10-minute talk with Peyton Manning,
right.
and all of a sudden they got $15 million.
Right.
So don't look at it and say, well, the Colts don't. First of all, Dwight Freeney's not going anywhere, so let's get
right.
that down in the books right now. Harper probably won't be back. Doss probably won't be back. They'll try to sign June, I imagine,
yeah.
and probably Rhodes if they can.
And you also can have guys that aren't necessarily on that list of free agents that are under contract going forward that are contributing to that, them only being $5 million under the projected cap, that right. won't be here.
Right, right.
You know, there's guys I'm sure that they have under contract that aren't going to be around.
Like right. Dan Klecko, what's he worth? He's making fifth, six-year minimum now? Get rid of that guy. Get a rookie.
let's see. TG says, P.S. Sorry, tout. Although I did notice that the article on Colts.scout.com mentioning you joining Colt Power has been removed. Let the conspiracy theories fly.
Did you contact them?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Okay. What'd they say?
They never responded to me.
They did remove it.
I contacted the publisher and asked what was going on. I said, because obviously someone either stole my name or something's going on here, and I haven't heard back from them, but I didn't see that they removed it. So
really what Tom said was, I forgot to tell you I got another job.
Casale joins PFW and the Patriots lose to the Colts in the playoffs. Hmm. Fred, did you do a background check? Is Tom gambling again?
Well, actually, if you want to go a step further.
Yes and yes.
Casale joined PFW, and the Patriots haven't beaten the Colts since. They're 0-3.
Let's see. Mark with a C from New Hampshire. Tom was God. Why did he have to sell out to Indianapolis? He sold his soul to the devil. Anyways, why wouldn't the Pats just franchise Asante Samuel? Have him play out next year, see how he does, and then make a decision. If he held out like Branch, wouldn't we receive compensation if he was to work out a deal somewhere else? Yes, we would.
Well,
but now you're
no,
getting into a
he wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, we would have to.
They could franchise him. That's a very legitimate possibility. Yeah. But if he doesn't accept it, then they would have to, you know, in order for anybody to be able to talk to him, the Patriots would have to kind of make a trade or
send
something.
Send out one of those press releases where we've given Deion Branch and his agent. Or
something tells me we're not going to see one of those again.
Yeah, that didn't really play out how they thought.
That didn't work that well.
Live and learn.
Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. I know you've been talking about linebackers in the roster report. Love them, by the way. And I know Tom said he wasn't interested in having J.R. out there as a starter. Who's that?
Junior.
Okay.
Oh, Junior Seau.
Well, he's got
the IT department. Oh, that's it.
He's got it capitalized. J and the R is capitalized.
But I'm assuming he's talking about Junior.
I don't know. Shut your phone off. Put it on vibrate. Do something.
You want to take that, Fred?
I don't even recognize.
He's going to give out the number.
I don't even recognize the number.
Anyway, said he wasn't interested in having Junior out there as a starter, but don't you think we could keep him for a reasonable amount of money and use him as a run stopper? The guy still looks like a chiseled Egyptian god.
Oh.
I still think have
Tom's
him back
gay?
what's 18th year minimum?
Right.
Yeah. I know it's like 10 and up, but
I don't care if they want him on the team. That's not going to bother me, but I said, I'm going to be very consistent on this all off season. I want younger, faster linebackers, because if Junior Seau was out there against the Colts, the score would have been worse. So I'm sick and tired of bringing in these 38-year-old retreads, even though Seau played much better than we thought we did.
He
played great. But, you know, next year he's going to be a year older. He's coming off another injury. He's been injured the last 3 years. I'm sorry, but that's boring me. Give me some crazy maniac.
He's so young, so naive.
Who's going to
kill
people.
We've been singing this song for like 3 years now, and we never get our way.
Yeah. Two more years.
And then a guard, and then a this, and then...
I want some kind of crazy athletic maniac.
Seriously, Fred, does it not have a vibrate?
I couldn't agree more with Tom, though, because if you come back in and you plan on having him as your starter, he's not playing 16 games.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to hear it next year when people are all lamenting the fact that he got hurt and what a shame it was and a bad break. It wouldn't be a bad break if he got hurt. When you're playing that long and you have that extensive an injury past, the exception is not getting hurt, not, you know, breaking an arm or tearing a muscle in your chest. He's going to get hurt. He's going to break down. You can't help
and
it.
And Rodney Harrison's going to get hurt next year, too. So you better have a plan for safety.
Andy finishes up saying, P.S., I like Manning's commercials and respect his ability, but I really don't like the guy. Did you notice the whining in fits in the Super Bowl?
Guys, they're not saying boo. They're saying move.
No, I did see
can I just ask?
Whining.
Can
of course
I ask
you did.
Something here? Yeah, and I'm not the biggest.
I didn't have the Patriots camera.
I'm not the biggest Manning fan in the world because I think that you know he had some advantages and I can't you know whatever.
I'm with you.
All right, but when Tom Brady like goes to the sideline and yells at Troy Brown like in the AFC Championship, is that whining behavior?
Well, he doesn't do it in a whining way.
So in other words, you're just blind to the fact that the guy has a blue uniform on, and that's okay.
One's whining.
Like when he throws a water bottle.
One's
on
fiery and one's whining.
One's leading like, and the other's whining.
I personally don't think it's whining. I don't think what Tom Brady does is whining. I don't think what Peyton Manning does is whining. I think that they're just trying to get things, you know, they know what they're doing. And they're trying to make sure everybody else knows what they're doing too. But, I mean, when you fire a water bottle on the sideline, as he's done on a couple of occasions as the Patriot, is that whining?
No.
Okay, so as long as we're all clear on that, then Peyton Manning's not whining either.
And Fred, you know since I'm
agreeing with you, Fred. I don't think it's whining either.
Since I came here, no one's been harder on Peyton Manning than me. I've called him a loser, a choker, every word, you know. But you know what?
The whole family.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's Peyton Manning sucks, I think, was his famous quote on our last neck.
Cost us viewers.
But that's it. It's over now.
Peyton Manning sucks.
You got to accept it. He won the Super Bowl. He's going to break every single passing record in the book. Yep. Plus, he's going to be a Super Bowl champion.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Multiple MVPs. Super Bowl MVP.
It's all over. It's over.
At his Hall of Fame thing, the guy will do like he did for Joe Montana.
Single-handed.
Bathroom break time.
Peyton Manning.
He single-handedly saved his family.
Yes, he did. Because Eli ain't winning nothing. I guarantee you that.
You see Florio today says, I guess there was a story in one of those. Peyton Manning says his brother Eli will get a ring on his own someday.
Yeah. Well, what's he going to say?
If he buys it on eBay.
And Florio says, he's a loser.
Sure he will. If he buys one on eBay, Florio says.
Yeah, but what if he becomes Peyton's backup like 2 years from now and wins one that way?
Kind of like Drew, Drew's ring.
Let's see. Justin writes in, says, Tom rules Andy Hart equals Stewie from The Family Guy. I'm a longtime listener, first-time emailer. I'm glad.
Are you stealing other people's material? That's already been said on this show.
I'm glad to see Tom his own introduction in the opening. It was long overdue since he carries the show.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
Still depressed thinking about
this
the
guy. Hey, you should email more. I like this guy.
Isn't this Justin in Alaska?
No.
Oh, who is it?
It's another Justin.
Says he's a first time.
We already have a Justin. Go screw off.
I like this
he's
Justin.
He calls himself Farley from Marblehead. Even though his email says Justin. Farley from Marblehead. I'm still depressed thinking about the loss 2 weeks ago, but congrats to all of the Colts players and fans out there. They won it fair and square. I don't think they'll repeat because when you win a Super Bowl, some of your players get pursued by other teams offering bigger dollars. Some others lose that hunger that made them great having won the big one. And lastly, it's hard to repeat with the bullseye on your back. See the 0-2 Pats. You get the hardest schedule and the lowest draft picks. Anyway, back to my original reason for emailing. I am a diehard fan of Family Guy and enjoyed the comparison between Andy, I hate the Irish heart, and Stewie, huge head, tiny body. I also like the comparison between Andy and Gilligan, also a classic. Here comes the funny part. Stewie's middle name on the show is Gilligan.
Holy crap!
I'm not kidding. Lois's mother on the show is angry with him and calls him by his full name, Stuart Gilligan Griffin, in one of the episodes. It's all coming together.
That's crazy.
Andy Hart is Stewie.
That's amazing.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I agree with that.
That's one of those things that's a little eerie, a little weird.
But Andy and I were talking in the office yesterday. I don't know if you guys agree. This whole thing about the bullseye, I think the Colts have the bullseye on them all the time anyway. I think when you're the Patriots and the Colts and you've sustained this kind of success over the last 5 years and you have quarterbacks named Brady and Manning, I think every week teams are gunning for you regardless if you're the Super Bowl champions or not.
I agree with that.
I don't think it's going to change much next year.
The only thing I could say that could change, and we don't know,
is their demeanor.
I think
the Colts,
relevance.
Might not have quite that same amount of passion. You know, because
I think
they
saw it in the Steelers.
Yeah.
Well, I think I've said many times the biggest problem with the Steelers was all off field for Ben Roethlisberger.
I know, but
which is why somebody called the Weiner line and said, "Hey, Peyton Manning, why don't you go buy a motorcycle?"
Right.
I agree with that, but I forget.
I think
which Steeler it
power,
said.
Though.
I think
maybe
it. I think I don't know.
That was part of it too, but off field stuff.
I don't know if it was Porter or one of them said, "You know, there's just too many of us in this locker room who are too content this year."
What was that when they were like 2-5?
Whatever it was. Yeah, I don't know. You know. So I think there is some
I just
validity.
Think if you don't have the appendectomy and you don't have the motorcycle accident and you don't have the situation with Cowher, you're not in the,
right.
I think Pittsburgh was, you know, would have had a much different year. Now, I don't think they would have won at all because I don't think they were that good.
Let's see. Sean McLaughlin, longtime emailer, longtime listener.
Okay.
Says, The Super Bowl is over, and I really can't wait to have my Pro Bowl party on Saturday. Me, my dog, and a case of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
Nice. Jesus.
Okay, maybe not the dog, but seriously.
How about maybe not the Pabst?
Seriously, with so many questions, not a lot of answers this early in the season, here are some random thoughts for you guys to ponder. One, I don't think we could ever hear Craig from South Carolina say Peyton Manning sucks. The guy is good, Craig. He always was. He and Brady are the Bird and Magic era for football, and it's going to be enjoyable for years to come.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. That's not good.
I agree with that. And I think it just got better because when only one team wins, it's not as good.
Sure. Two, I guess the next time you guys will be in Indy beside Tom and Andy for the Combine will be this September 6th on Thursday night, unless Mr. Kraft feels that it's a little too soon since the team will be in China Bowl this season.
And I kind of agree with that. I think it might be the Saints because they play the Saints.
Right. That's the internet. The internet thing is the Saints.
And I think only for that reason, because of the China thing and everything. I think if it was a normal offseason, it would be the Patriots. But with that factoring in, and since they have the Saints on the schedule too, they move that game there.
I say it's still the Patriots.
Three, I think it would be a shame if we did not mention congrats to Andre Tippett. It's quite an honor to get to the top 11 of the finals. I feel within 2 years he'll be there, and here is hoping Gino gets in with the senior committee. It's a shame that so-called TV personality that played for Dallas got into the Hall of Fame.
He deserves to be there.
Four.
Not as a TV personality.
No.
I like him, and I wouldn't even say that.
Four, if you had to pick the biggest need in the offseason, what would it be? Wide receiver, linebacker, or defensive back help?
Linebacker.
I'd say linebacker.
Linebacker.
It's the core of your defense. Five, when I watched Rex Grossman play on Sunday night, I thought to myself, God, if we only were able to get 4 more yards. I think we were all thinking the same thing. And finally, he says, I'm trying to send you guys some Hazleton cuisine for your guys for lunch. If you guys like cold pizza, it's boxed. Let me know. What's Hazleton cuisine, Gary?
Apparently cold pizza.
It's really sending pizza from Hazleton. Next week, we'll be looking for food.
Oh, we have a microwave. We can stick it.
The one thing I'll say about Grossman is that I kind of think, do you guys agree that he's kind of similar to Tony Romo and their playing style a little bit, like the way they move around? And
yeah, I think that Grossman has a bigger arm and Romo has much more mobility.
But I think, looking at him as young quarterbacks, I'm not totally sold that Romo's going to lead the Cowboys to the promised land, but he showed me some things that are positive, like that he can build on and some throws he can make. When I watch Rex Grossman, I don't see any of that. His throws are behind receivers. He doesn't have a good feel in the pocket. And
we were saying some of these
things
back when he was racking up those 100-point rating games, when he was throwing off his back foot, throwing into double coverage, and I just
play that game so long.
I think it's 19 starts or something like that. He's still got a long way to go, a lot of development to make, but I'm not convinced. And I think that Chicago has an enormous decision to make, because I think they do have a team that's good enough to get back there. Now, we all know the past Super Bowl losers. The track record's not very good. But they have a team that's good enough to win and maybe a quarterback away. I got to think Jeff Garcia makes a lot of sense for a team like that. Looks like he might be going to Minnesota, who plays the same, with Brad Childress.
I just didn't feel real crisp.
Same offensive. He just came out of in Philadelphia. But, that's another thing about the whole passer rating thing. A lot of people think that it's a dumb stat, passer rating. But if ever it was magnified, it was that Super Bowl. I mean, do you know his passer rating through three quarters in that game was well over 100?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Well, the guy that emailed earlier figured it out on his own.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know he figured it out on his own. He didn't look at the
stats.
Some
quick math told me it was 68.
First of all,
you looked at it and saw what his rating was.
You can't do that in quick math.
Right.
There's about eight things that go into it. So there's nothing quick about it, even if you're like Maura O'Brien and you're a mathematician.
Well, it'll be interesting offseason for those two young quarterbacks, because one has the hold that he bobbled and the other has the miserable Super Bowl performance. It'll be interesting to see if they have the mental capacity to bounce back from
that.
I think
at a minimum, Lovie Smith has to open it up in camp and let Greasy compete for the starting job,
But is that the best
that
way
the
to go?
Answer, or is it to bring someone else?
I either bring someone in, because I think I know what Brian Greasy is.
Yeah.
Well, plus, I just think it's hard to kind of play, you're riding the fence there. Either you say Grossman was a first-year starter, but he's our guy, or you say
he's not our guy. We got to find our. I think it's hard to kind of play both sides of that coin there.
Hard to say that we're going to bring someone in for now, but we're still committing to
right.
Grossman for the
either future. You are or you aren't. And I personally think he's done in Chicago. I think maybe we'll see him come up again somewhere else. I think he could be an NFL quarterback, but to me, what happened to him on that big stage, and they were already calling for his head before this ever happened.
Right.
I mean, what is it now? I was actually disappointed, though. I tried to look through the Chicago clips because I want to see if there was any cool headlines, and I couldn't find it because I think his name, first of all, his name is Gross Man. I thought for sure there'd be some. Do they not have a tabloid, take shots kind of paper?
That's called the Tribune.
I didn't see any creative headlines. I was disappointed.
It's just like Boston. It's the Sun-Times and the Tribune. One of them is
Sun-Times is the tabloid.
One of them is a tabloid and one of them is a broadsheet.
I was disappointed because I couldn't find any good creative cheap shot headlines.
Josh in Chattanooga writes in. This one's not specifically about the Patriots, but over the past few weeks, everybody's been talking about how Peyton needed to win the Super Bowl to validate his career, if not this year, at least eventually. My problem here is that it seems to be only quarterbacks who are held to this standard. If a running back, linebacker, or right guard fails to win a Super Bowl in his career,
Logan Mankins is in trouble.
Does that mean that it hasn't been validated? Were the careers of Barry Sanders Jr., Seau, Tiki Barber somehow invalid because they never won a big game? It seems unfair to put quarterbacks on such a high echelon to where a Super Bowl victory team achievement would define an individual career. Some players just get unlucky and never have that elite caliber of teammates to get them the ring. This applies to all positions. Sure, the quarterback is the most important position on the field, but they are just one of 22 that is needed. And I'll go so far as to say that a quarterback can prevent a Super Bowl victory if he's really that bad, something that no other position can really do. But a quarterback can't win you a Super Bowl alone. I don't care if it's Tom Brady, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, or Trent Dilfer.
Well,
Dilfer.
I think Andy already answered that question just a minute ago because what did you just say? Rex Grossman is done in Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay. They get most of the blame. They get most of the reward. That's
no question.
Comes with the position. And, hey, who led the 49ers down there? It was Joe Montana.
Right.
Who led the Patriots down? It's Tom Brady. Those are the guys that are getting all
and
the
reward. And it's not the only position. It's just
the major.
Like Tom said, you get a greater percentage of everything as the quarterback.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, Adam Vinatieri has the same thing as a kicker. He's been put over the top as a kicker because of his postseason prowess.
And I think
Jason Elam is maybe just as good as Adam Vinatieri.
But no one will ever say that Jason Elam's career wasn't validated.
Right.
You know,
if
he didn't win, even though he
did. But to me, that's the percentage thing. A quarterback is viewed as 70% of the team, so he gets 70 blames, 70 praise.
Kickers aside, I think even other positions, when it comes to thinking about Hall of Fame stuff, I think they do get hurt if they weren't on a winning team.
That's a different argument, but I think everything in that email is right logically.
Exactly.
But it is the way that is the way it is.
It is what it is.
And you know, quarterbacks are defined by their rings, and a lot of good, well-respected coaches believe that. I personally think it's a little short-sighted, but you can't change the way people look at it. Now, running backs, no one looks at it that way.
And
no one says, well, he's a great running back, but, you know, he never won the Super Bowl.
And
couldn't win the
big
one. No one
it does validate him, though, too, because Dan Marino was a quarterbacking god. I mean, even quarterbacks say that. They say when Dan Marino was their idol. He was phenomenal. But there's always the but. He didn't win the Super Bowl. You can never say that about Peyton Manning now. If he has all those records, you can't say, well, he has all these but. There's no but with him anymore.
Josh was the one last week that said that he thought Caldwell should have scored. He said, I wrote about the drop pass by Caldwell saying that he could have easily scored. You said that you didn't know about easily, maybe a first down, but they were too far away. They were on the Indy 10, not 30, like you said, without a doubt in my
mind.
Not
on
it
the
was
10.
Not on
no,
the
they
10-yard line.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong.
It was absolutely not the 10-yard line.
Yeah, he's looking at a different line. He's saying 3rd and 7 at the Indy 10, shotgun, Brady passed.
It wasn't
incomplete.
Even a third down.
Sorry.
He wasn't in shotgun.
Yeah.
Flawed. No, yeah, he wasn't in
right.
shotgun.
Yeah, he
probably would have seen it
right.
if he was in shotgun.
And yes, that's absolutely true. He was behind the line because, yeah, so you're looking at the wrong play, Josh. Don't.
That might be the play that he got interfered with in the end zone and they didn't call.
Yeah, don't question
if
us,
that
Josh.
Was incomplete.
Don't question us, Josh. I would go the other way. I'd say question us all you want because more times than not, you're probably
right.
going to be good.
Right. On this particular case, it wasn't the 10-yard. There's no way it was that close. And Gary's right. It wasn't a shotgun.
No. Because they showed the shot of Brady right at the line.
Yeah, looking around.
He didn't see
right.
how open, how uncovered.
And if he's in the gun and he's 7 yards back, his peripheral vision widens out. Right. He might see it.
No, you're looking at
still
the
say
play.
The best part of that play, though, is Gaffney going, pointing over his head, trying to tell Brady to look to the top, look to the top.
Yeah.
Ixnay on the open A.
Sawyer from Waterloo. I listened to your show and podcast, so it wasn't until Thursday when I heard the shocking news that there is a double agent in the ranks of PFW.
Oh, for Christ's
I can
sake.
Picture it now. 2005, Indianapolis, Tom Casale and Bill Polian. They're sitting at a bar, and Bill is buying Tom drinks and expensive cigars. He asks what it would take for him to become a double agent. Tom replies, a turkey club sandwich and a six-pack of Heineken, and I'd flip on the Pats. Done, Bill
six
says.
Six-pack. And I've seen Tom after one beer. I don't know if it takes all six.
Let's look back. The Pats have beat the Colts seven straight times. Tom comes in, takes a year to find our weaknesses, and now the Colts have got us three times in a row and have a ring. I can hear Bill calling Tom before the AFC Championship game and asking what they could do. Tom says, throw it to Klecko, our other spy you bought. Thursday, I listened in horror. I immediately went onto the internet to see the evidence myself. When the page came up, it says, this page is no longer available. Tom is good. He was able to get a hold of Polian and get that off the web quickly, and I'm sure that the person that posted it went on vacation and had a terrible skiing accident. Watch your backs, guys, and put a password on all the computers. I am hurt. P.S., watch for a pale circle on his fingers the size of a Super Bowl ring in weeks to follow.
Well, I should say this. If Bill Polian offered me a lot of money, I would do that.
I would too,
but unfortunately,
I don't know if I can work for Bill Polian.
But unfortunately, he did not, and
have to be a lot of zeros.
That was some kind of. I'm still waiting for a response, but apparently they've taken it down. So I'll have to resend another email to the guy.
Okay, Lawrence in West Lynn, Oregon.
Yay! We love Lawrence. Woohoo!
Yes, yes.
Yay!
Thank you very much.
Try a sub.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse. Bill Polian will schedule the Pats to play Indian in Championapolis in to start the 2007 season on the opening Thursday night, only a few short weeks after they return from China. At least you'll get a week in Seattle. I can't even begin to describe how exciting life is out here in the Pacific Northwest. Better bring one of those Three Games to Glory DVDs. Let me know if you need a name of somewhere to eat in Beijing. I know a number of pretty good Chinese restaurants.
I don't eat Chinese food.
There? What kind of food they have there?
Right. Aren't they all Chinese restaurants?
Yeah, they just call it food.
Right. Trivia question, right? Ready?
Kevin Turner.
When is the last time the Patriots played a Super Bowl champ? Okay. When is the last time the Patriots played a Super Bowl champ? That doesn't make any sense.
The year after, right?
Oh, the year after?
A reigning Super Bowl champion.
All right, that's what it means. Okay.
Okay, it can't be themselves.
It's not the Rams. It's not. Is it Baltimore? It's not Baltimore. They didn't play that.
Denver in 99?
Paul got it. Do you know the score?
Denver in 99. 24.
Was it?
He already said
22?
It. He already
no,
said
I
it.
Did
it's
not.
34 to 19.
24-23. Very good.
And
Paul.
I'll even tell you that Shanahan, strangely,
boring.
At the end of the game, they had a fourth down, and a makeable fourth. It was like a fourth and three or a fourth and four. And instead of going for the first down, Elam tried like a 60-yard field goal.
Was Jimmy Irsay drunk on the podium?
Yes, okay. Very much so.
Coach Dundee. Dungy.
Jimmy Irsay, you calling him Jimmy?
Everybody calls him
That's
Jimmy.
Everybody else calls him. That's what Bill calls
Bill
him.
Bill calls him
conference.
Jimmy, so I figure I'm supposed to call him Jimmy.
Although when Bill knew him, he was like 10.
Right, he really was Jimmy. Little Jimmy.
Gus writes, great show, love the banter. And it's what I feel it is part of what makes listening to you so much fun. I know it's already way in the past, and someone else may have mentioned it before, but Rashay Caldwell took a lot of heat for the drop pass and the loss to the stinking Super Bowl champion Colts. I just wanted to point out that if Tom Terrific sees him out there uncovered before he has to wave and jump frantically to get his attention, he could have streaked untouched into the end zone for a TD.
Yeah, if he caught it.
I feel Brady never really developed enough confidence in his guys this year, and it detracted from the overall performance of the team.
Yep.
As far as the Super Bowl, it was a great game. I could not help but think that we were one first down from being there the whole time. I watched, Maybe we don't need to be under the salary cap so much next year. Can Chad Jackson ever get on the field? Okay, let's try and keep Samuel. Again, thank you for being there for us Pats fans and keep up the great work. P.S. The Pats loss killed me in the office pool. Otherwise, you would be enjoying a lunch on me today.
Damn it.
Stinking lousy Colts.
All right, Gary, let's take a break. We got another half hour and more emails to come.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack Sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots Brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack Sausages. Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, welcome back to PFW Progress. We're all here. It's Wednesday. We're here every Wednesday in the offseason from 12 to 2, PFW Progress, and taking your emails. Lively discussion today, talking about Andre Tippett and the Hall of Fame, the Super Bowl, talking about Patriots in the offseason. We still can't get over the loss against the Colts, sorry to say, and it's going to be until next year that I get over it. I don't know about you guys.
That was a tough one. That's not one of those that you just kind of like brush off. It's kind of like, for me as a fan back in 97 in Pittsburgh, the 7-6
yeah,
game.
Yeah.
That one left a mark.
Yep.
And this Colts one left a mark too.
So, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Andy's gone. Where'd he go?
Head to Wee Wee.
Okay. Let's see. Let's get back to some emails. Zeus.
Zeus.
He's from Rancho Mirage, California. Says, I was wondering what you guys thought about the psychology of a franchise tag. It seems to me it's a great way to piss off a player, which in turn can either lead to less passionate play or internal angst and disruption. I would hate to see the Pats franchise either Graham or Asante. I want the players to be here because they are motivated to be here, not because they have to. Having said that, we have to pay Asante, and I'd love to see Graham stay. Pats have been saving the cap for a rainy day, and in my estimation, It's a rainy day.
I smell trouble if they franchise Samuel.
I smell fuel.
I smell fuel or something. Like, what is that odor? Are we
no
in
one light, was, no one light a match. Outside.
Anyway.
Yes.
I agree.
I agree to a point, but
that doesn't mean
he will
can't...
be making about $8 million.
But that doesn't mean you can't use the tag.
Right.
You know, and the team has to protect itself as well.
Can't work in fear.
And I do think it's a good way to irritate a player and whatnot. And I understand the reasons why the players don't like it. Even though it's a good salary, I understand why they don't like it. But at the same time, I think if the team decides they really want this guy and they're trying to negotiate and they can't get it done, you have to use it. Because you have to, at the very least, you have to set yourself up to be able to get something in return.
Right.
I think there's going to be problems because I think Samuel knows the kind of year he had. He knows this is the time that he wants to get to the open market. And if he gets franchised, I agree, he's going to be making a lot of money, but I don't think that's what he wants.
Right.
Okay.
And his agent certainly doesn't want it, so you got him chirping in the ear because the agent wants his chunk of $40 million or whatever, not $7.7 million.
Right. Let's see. Jeff in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada says, just wondering how many people in an organization get a ring beside the players. Do players on IR and the practice squad get a ring too off the staff?
No.
Well, it depends. I mean, it's really up to the owner and, you know, to who gets rings and who doesn't. But as far as the team goes, guys on IR get it. All the support staff get it.
Most practice squatters get them.
Yeah.
Right. Ricky Prohl got a ring.
Mm-hmm.
So, but beyond that, as far as office staff, it's up to the owner.
How many does Dan Klecko have?
He's got three.
Three?
This would be his third, right?
Three rings.
Dan Klecko, Tom Brady, three rings. Well, I thought winning was everything. I thought that's what mattered.
Well, I'll tell you, and it's a good thing that he won one, too, because his career as a defensive tackle slash fullback slash linebacker would not have been validated.
Never would have been validated without the Super Bowl.
Well, you guys can joke all you want, but Brady's never won a Super Bowl without Dan Klecko. Or has he? You know, he has.
No. Oh, yes, he has. Yes. 2001.
Are you at all surprised that no Patriots coaches have left that we know of?
No, I didn't think there'd be much movement this year.
No.
How about Huffnagel coming back? Did he go anywhere? Bring him back as a quarterback's coach?
Don't know.
Haven't seen, because I know he got canned.
Haven't seen his name on the list. I did see the Jeff Davidson thing that you and I were talking about earlier. The Panthers hired Jeff Davidson as the new offensive coordinator, replaced Dan Mr. Imagination Henning.
Fred's not listening to you, just so you know. There's a woman jiggling her butt on the screen behind you.
Like she's insane, though.
I don't speak Spanish.
She's the crazy.
In English,
that woman
please.
She is insane. There's no question.
Jeff Davidson, will he lead to John Fox keeping his job or just help him out the door?
Well, there's no question John Fox is maybe on the hottest seat. He and Tom Coughlin, guys like that. Not too many guys feeling more pressure.
Fox might be the most.
I'd love to somehow get Stephen Smith on this team.
It's funny. We had an Ask PFW yesterday. That
I don't know where he comes up with this stuff.
He's under contract for like three
Tomlinson,
more years.
Tomlinson, who I'd love to see. I mean, what, are we just going to throw stuff out there?
What do you think?
Where did that come from?
What do you guys think of the possibility of wide receivers in general? Now, I know the free agents right now, the guys that are slated to become free agents, is not a very impressive list of wide receivers. But if guys become available, do you think they might kind of work their way to try to get to a place like the Patriots, because you can sign a short deal, like maybe a one-year deal, you know, for maybe $1 million or whatever, probably catch, you know, 60 or 70 balls from Brady if you're any good, and then parlay that into a big contract somewhere else for 2008.
I like it. Get it out there.
It's a good theory.
I don't think Moss is a possibility.
No, that's, I don't think.
But I know a lot of Patriots fans are speculating, but I thought someone on the NFL Network said it perfectly. Randy Moss was arguably the best receiver ever for a four-year span. The problem is he's been playing for 9 years. The guy stopped playing football.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, he stopped playing football. He doesn't care.
For Brady, I want guys that are fast that can run really crisp routes.
You know what would be perfect? You know would be perfect? Javon Walker. Perfect.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
I'm just saying, the guy that they had a shot at last year would have been perfect for here. Absolutely perfect.
What do you think, Andy? What kind of wide receiver do you want Brady to get.
Sure, if you can find a guy who's fast and runs, crisp
great routes.
If he has good hands, I'll take that too. What are we, just drawing up the robot of the perfect
receiver? Especially
receiver?
If he can score, too.
If he has the ability to break tackles in the open field.
Right,
I'm
throw
really
that
gonna,
in.
I'm really going to be interested.
Tough, you know.
How about we just work on getting Chad Jackson to do something?
If you could get someone, you know, like Jerry Rice, similar,
right.
I'm all for it.
But seriously, I mean, we know the guy. The guy is here who is key. He was the guy who was here who was key last September, October, November, December, and January and never did anything.
He
it's Chad Jackson.
And I certainly went down with the ship with Chad Jackson because I kept saying all year that he's the guy that can emerge as that number one guy, knock everybody down a peg.
No question.
And I went down with that.
Somebody
ship.
Emailed the Mike I'm Felder show quoting what I said about Chad Jackson on draft weekend.
I haven't completely.
Let's just say it wasn't pretty. This damn internet, they keep everything out there in cyberspace.
It's unbelievable. But. I haven't completely given up on him, Fred.
How could you?
I don't have the same, probably enthusiasm that I did back when he.
Yeah, I've pulled
about.
In the reins on Pro Bowl or before the end of his rookie deal. But, I'm looking for 50 catches before the end of his rookie deal.
But as Tom wrote, I think at some point during the season, Tom, I think you wrote it, kind of looking at several well-known wide receivers, there's a long list of guys that were taken in the top two or three rounds that didn't exactly light the world on fire right away. And
plus, we know that
right.
Jackson went into the tank as a sophomore in high school and bounced back from that.
The
so
problem with this guy,
his high school coach, saying
the problem
that
was,
with thanks,
Jackson
coach.
Is
why don't you shut up?
He was on a team that was perfectly set up
for
him a guy
to succeed,
to make an impact.
Yes,
right, that's,
you know,
that's,
but that doesn't
that's
mean
you have a great
concern.
Quarterback.
But that doesn't mean
and
he was perfectly ready to take advantage of
true.
The situation.
That is true.
But
that's
you
what,
know, if Deion Branch had come into that situation, okay, Deion Branch probably would have taken advantage.
Right.
But clearly, Chad Jackson was not prepared to take advantage in year one in the NFL. Throw in the hamstring, throw in everything. It just he wasn't ready.
Right.
But you do have to take into consideration. Let's say if he was a rookie last year and had Branch and Givens here, and he had the same rookie year he had, it wouldn't have been considered nearly as disappointing
right.
as this year.
No question.
For the reasons that Fred's talking about. I agree with that.
We'll see. I haven't given up on him.
I'm going to be positive like I always am, and I'm going to say that he can still be great.
Wait a minute. Like you always are?
And like I always...
I try to stay positive.
Like I always say, it's always... It's everything Patriots at Patriots.com.
Right.
That's the way I always look at it.
Anything but Patriots.
And I have not given up.
I actually expect Jabbar Gaffney to have 1,500 yards and 110 catches next year.
I think Jabbar Gaffney might be in for the roster battle.
I expect three or four new receivers to be here by training camp.
Did you see the email that said, you know, we'll get rid of one of them, hopefully Caldwell, and keep Gaffney?
Well, I had one that was over the top.
He's going to fall off the face of the earth.
100%. 100% people blaming the loss in the game. This one emailer on Caldwell. Wow. And the guy writes in his email, you probably won't post this. And I'm like, don't write stuff like that and then expect it not to be posted.
Right.
I'm letting you get stuff for the slings and arrows
exactly.
of everybody else.
No, it's just
sides. The reason for the loss was Bill Belichick. You run your fullback on 3rd and 10, most important play of the game, you lose. Why don't you blame the coach for once? You know, in other cities, that actually happens. Try it. It's fun.
Dave from Connecticut.
Not going to be the star of the
series. I was going to say, you know, there's only 15 minutes left in the show. This is where you make your transition to.
That was a 12-10 comment, not a 135 comment.
Let's see. Dave says, I finally came out of my shell after the AFC Championship game. I still can't believe the Pats lost, but I'll live with it and wait till next year. Do you think the team should give Asante Samuel the money he's going to want? Personally, I do. I think he's earned it, as long as it's not totally insane. I'd also like your thoughts on the team's running backs. They're getting older except for Maroney, and Corey Dillon looks awfully slow. Looking forward to your upcoming draft shows. They are very informative.
Yes, the running backs are getting older. Kevin Falk, Corey Dillon.
That's the kind of information he's looking for.
Now that's what he asked. That's why they're going to take a running back in the draft, and Tom's on board with Brian Leonard. Tom loves him. I think he's going to be a star in this league.
I never said that. Where, though?
No, Brian Leonard is projected to go in the second round of the draft.
And you don't want him that high.
No, I do not. He's a guy who can do a bunch of things pretty well. He does nothing overly great. You know, a guy that
like
you'd
Joseph
love to
Adai.
Have on your team. And he would certainly contribute here. But in the second round, you want kind of a role player, backup,
and
kind of running back guy.
The need they have, which is to find maybe the next Kevin Falk, backup, third down kind of guy, is the kind of need you get with a running back in the third round, fourth round.
Right.
They have the guy. Now, if what we saw at the end of the season, the jitteriness and the indecisive running,
is Lawrence Maroney in the future? Okay, well, maybe you missed on that too. But in theory, based on what we saw, they have their franchise back. They're filling in behind him. They're filling in for Kevin Falk in the backup role. So you can get that in the middle of the draft.
And what I would do is this. I would sign a veteran. If it's, this is saying if Dylan's not around. Sign like a veteran, like Andy said, maybe like a Chris Brown. To fill Dylan's role, and then draft like a Lorenzo Booker type, where a quick, fast pass catching back.
I like Lorenzo Booker too, by the way.
Yeah,
not that it means
to fill in for Falk once he goes. That way, you're set up for the future.
Can I now? I want to ask to get off the running backs and back to the first part of that email. We want to sign Asante Samuel unless it's ridiculous money. Well, I want to get it out on the table. What's ridiculous
money? Ridiculous
because I know
money.
When he signs somewhere else, I don't care what it is, well, everybody in New England's going to say whoever signs him overpaid for him. So
what's ridiculous money? If they come out, and because I know he's mostly talking about me. Because
no, I'm not. I'm talking about everybody in New England, Fred. You are not alone in that department, please.
If they come out and say, oh, my God, what they're asking for is more than Champ Bailey makes, that's ridiculous.
Six years, $36
million? If it's about what
14
Champ
up front?
If it's about what
Champ I'll sign the deal today.
Yeah. 6 years, 36, 14 up front.
I'll sign it today. Thank you.
So the total deal is $36
million. That's what I just said.
Of it is guaranteed.
This is where he's thinking while talking, trying to figure out how he handles this situation.
I just want to make sure that the 14's not on top of the 6 years.
No.
I give it to him.
Okay.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I give it to him.
Thank you very much.
Will he take
You undervalued yourself, Asante.
I think he probably could get a little bit more than that, but I think that's, a ballpark.
No one ever excuses
because I personally don't think they'll give him a $14 million signing bonus.
Now, what if... If
and I think
the Patriots
that when he gets
offer
it somewhere
that,
else, people will say they overpaid for him.
Yeah, but spread over 6 years, that's not a hell of a lot per year.
Two and change. You know? Well, either way, it's basically $6 million a year.
No, it's $8 million a year. Well, no, yeah, it's $6 million a year, but, I mean, what you get stuck with after 2 or 3 years, you could live
and
with
it. And I do think he'll get a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, it'd probably be like closer to maybe like $42 million. Total.
You're going to be close to Champ Bailey money because the market is different. Not because he's as good as Champ Bailey, but the market is different. The cap has gone up.
And I think that's okay.
And Andy,
then Champ Bailey goes, well, I want to renegotiate.
Well, Andy, you bring up a good point because the first $3 million player in baseball was Kirby Puckett. And then after him, people started signing bigger contracts.
Right.
So one day Kirby was number one, and like 2 years later, he was number 32.
Right.
So as you said, it's not that he's better than Champ Bailey, but the market
is the way it works.
Now,
right.
Is Champ Bailey the highest paid cornerback in history?
I believe that's correct.
I think so, but
he,
I don't
would say yes. Deal, right?
I think so.
And Deion Sanders never came close because of when he played.
Right.
So, I mean, if he makes more than Champ Bailey, can you imagine Asante Samuel being the highest paid cornerback in the
but
history
Nate
of pro
Clemens
football?
Could make more than Asante
right.
Samuel.
Right. It could be one of those things where it's like a day and then
I'm
the next day.
I'm pretty sure that Nate Clemens will get more than Asante
So he'll be the highest paid
But it's also irrelevant, as Tom said.
It is.
Who's the highest paid safety in the history of football?
Right now?
Andy's boy.
Who?
Name him. I bet. Whoa. Let's see if Fred can name
him. Adam Archuleta.
Damn. the guy Andy says is getting a raw deal over there in Washington.
Ridiculous.
Well, the coaches
it's
don't
ridiculous.
Like him. It's clear.
Anyway, Phil from Austin says, I'm not just a fan. I'm just a fan, not an expert, but here's the problem.
So's Tom.
the Patriots look for undersized ex-college defensive lineman to play outside linebacker. After a while at outside linebacker, they end up playing inside linebacker. And then we wonder why these ex-college defensive linemen can't run down the field with younger tight ends and running backs. What am I missing?
Well, 35.
Teddy Bruschi used to be able to run with him. He can't anymore.
Right. Can you play
And there's only two examples that I can think of that you're really talking about. You're talking about Mike Vrabel and Teddy Bruschi.
Right.
And one played at a Pro Bowl level at inside linebacker.
And the other was forced,
the other was forced in there right. because they were scrambling. So they didn't, like, envision Mike Vrabel as the next inside linebacker.
Can you play two gap effectively with a 4-3?
Yes, they do. When they play 4-3, it's two gap.
It's still two gap.
Mm-hmm.
Good coaches adapt their systems to their personnel, but Belichick seems stuck. That's what he says.
Stuck again. One play away from winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I think it's funny, and I'm not trying to pick on Phil, but I think it's funny that anybody would say that Belichick is stuck in his system. I mean, I think
that he does more odd things.
He's
more flexible than anybody.
He may be widely considered.
Took an undrafted free agent linebacker and threw him in the AFC title game. Boy, is he stuck in his ways.
He's and it's not the system. He's not married to
systems. I wish he was
systems.
A little more stuck.
He has shown time and time again that depending on opponent and situation, he'll do anything.
Right.
You know, we all remember the no defensive lineman. We remember the
completely different defense against the Eagles in the Super Bowl than he had shown at any point. I think to call Bill stuck in his ways, I think, is unfair.
All right. John says, after the reports of some of the team getting the flu, I was wondering why the team doesn't get a flu shot. It isn't the first time this team passed around the flu bug, and
it
seems
it
took part in the loss a few weeks ago. Are they not able to take the flu shot for some reason? Do they get a flu shot, but it doesn't work? Do they choose not to get it?
I have
That's
no
the
idea.
From John.
I don't know.
I'm guessing they get it.
Well, yeah. Fred, you got a flu shot, right?
I got a flu shot.
And you still got really
and
sick.
And I still got really sick.
So
it doesn't always.
I don't know if they do or not. My guess is that in the NFL today, with the medicine and the nutrition and all that stuff, I would guess that they do.
Yeah, I think they do.
But I don't know that for sure.
Some of these guys just don't like needles.
Some of them really like needles.
There you go.
There you go. Let's see. Russell. Russell says, good afternoon, King Tom, Big Show Perillo, Andy and Fred.
Hey, screw you. Who's this?
Hey, Tom, I'm with you now. I like that one.
Who's this?
Russell
this
from the OC.
This is early Doucette.
Get rid of him. Blow him up, Gary.
Tom, he's one of our best emails.
Blow him up. Screw him.
What's your early Doucette is solid.
He's dead to me.
What's your off-season media schedule, Paul?
why do you got to pick
I'm
on
just
that.
I just want to know where people can find you.
I don't really have a set schedule.
You don't?
I appear on the Big Show generally once a week, and I appear on the Fox show.
Well, he actually goes to the Big Show studio. Whether he says anything or not is up to debate. Because I listened for 45 minutes yesterday and never heard him speak.
Is that the height of irony right there? He's now making fun of me for not talking enough.
And what does it prove, as I always say? I'm going to make fun of you no matter what.
So what can I do?
Nothing.
Now, Andy, does Felger still have a show in the offseason?
Yes, Andy was on Monday. Why don't you have a pick on him?
No, I was just going to turn my attention to Andy. Now, do you have a set gig with him?
No, and every time he gets mad at me, I think my appearances become fewer and fewer.
Is that right?
Call me a little. Can I say the R word on this?
Wait, why don't you? No. Why don't you?
He called me a little
mentally challenged person,
but the R word
on air.
On air.
I heard it's retarded or something.
Yeah, that word. Apparently, we can say it or at least play it.
Why don't you? Why are you not setting your Monday thing? You did that like the last 3 months, didn't you?
Yeah.
Every Monday?
Last week? Well, it's like baseball. They're turning to baseball.
So that was your last week?
I don't know if you know, but if they want to talk baseball, the host can't, so they should at least have
a
guest who can.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because yesterday he was talking baseball for a little bit with Bob Halloran, and you're absolutely right. He can't talk baseball, and for some reason, he doesn't think that he should talk baseball.
In a baseball town where he's trying, on a fledgling radio station.
You need to talk Patriots and Red Sox. Right. Patriots and Red Sox. That's it.
Right. This ball that he threw had nothing to do with his sports, Hernery.
Yeah, you need. If you're going to be a host of a sports talk show in Boston, you better know the Red Sox. You know.
And he doesn't. And he doesn't try. He doesn't want to.
Sports 101 in this town.
He has no desire.
Now, I don't know, Fred. Maybe my Big Show appearances will be on the wane now that football is over.
Now that
you were there
and they paid you to sit there and not talk.
All you got to do in your spare time is start a Red Sox blog. I'm serious. Start a Red Sox blog. And
maybe if I do, the Red Sox PR department would include that in their press releases to the media.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's a low blow shot across the bow.
I don't know why you have to say that. I mean, just saying.
But that's all you got to do.
Maybe if I make it really big, they'll include.
Yeah, start a blog. We should do a PFW Red Sox blog. Can we do that?
No. Don't put the PFW name to it.
First of all, never mind. We'll get to that off the air.
Anyway,
Fred. What about me? What about my off season? But I don't exist around here. I'm here for your amusement. That's it.
Well, what we should talk about is the WBCN pregame show with Tom and Andy.
Absolutely, blew
away.
Absolutely, you guys would be terribly remiss. Kudos.
All right.
Kudos in a worst-to-first scenario reminiscent of the New Orleans Saints, yep. WBCN signs Tom and Andy, and boom, top of the ratings.
Funny
WEEI signs Paul, and boom, basement.
Funny, though, in the press release that BCN sent out, they mentioned all the people on their show. They didn't mention you guys.
Yeah, they. You know what? Screw them.
Yeah, that's right.
They mentioned Pete Brock.
Those 3 minutes a week evidently didn't tip the scale. But no, we would be remiss if we did not give congratulations to Andy and Tom for being part of
the number one
pregame show. Just in case people are listening and they want to know what the hell we're talking about, the BCN pregame show that you know, was on obviously the station that has the game.
Just in case people are listening.
Killed EEI's pregame show in the ratings.
And it was a head-to-head battle of PFW brethren.
It did. And the one thing that I was kind of concerned about it yesterday when I went into EEI and talking to some people, the one thing that made me feel a little better, they're far more concerned with the distance that they lost the postgame show than they are
the
pregame.
Oh, good, the buffoons.
Show. Because they evidently they fully expected
to
slip in the pregame show because they had gone, you know, they'd completely changed the lineup, and they were happy that it was
why'd they expect to slip just
because the whole lineup changed. They won every year when they had all those guys and they got rid of them all, so they expected there to be some change.
Had low expectations going in.
This was a lesser lineup?
What they didn't expect. Well, no, people don't like change.
Nice package, Bear.
You and I know that more than anybody. People don't like change.
Who was the lineup?
It was Dale Arnold, Kevin Mannix, Ron Hobson, and all gone. And but the postgame show was the same lineup, and they got absolutely buried. You know, they only got a 3. The postgame show was like
12. Laughable.
It was like 12 to 3.
I mean, they're laughable.
The postgame show?
Pete Shepard and Fred Smirlis.
Steve DiAssi.
They got a 3? That's pretty good. I'd give them a raise.
They are laughable.
So,
anybody listening to this show that might not like me calling them laughable?
Right.
Anyway.
I'd love to be on EEI anytime.
We got a few minutes.
Meathead! I play with them!
Russell's email. He says, now that.
No, we don't need to read Russell's email.
We don't?
He's a buffoon.
No, Russell's good.
Well, I like Russell.
Fred, he dissed us.
Really?
Yes.
No, what did he do?
You read it!
Can you please read Russell?
He said,
email?
King and the Big Show. Oh, yeah, Andy and Fred.
I don't care.
Oh, I do. Have some pride.
I'm not looking that as a barometer. He'd never be able to read any of these.
I'm not looking for personal
A-team and Fred.
Tom's leaving.
Where
He's
are you
upset.
Going?
He's going to have pizza. He's going to break
gonna
down.
He's going to have a piece of pizza.
It's cold now. So, you know,
this is what
just
I never
have
understand.
One bite and throw it away like Fred
this
does.
This is what I never understand. He'll never eat it at the beginning, but then he's always looking for the scratch.
He's
when
got
it's
no
cold.
Willpower. He's like the rest of us. He just holds out a little longer.
Now that the national media can freely and without repercussion express their undying love and adoration for Peyton, does the Colts' victory all but sew up the Patriots playing them on the kickoff Thursday night? In watching the Super Bowl, I'll say it here again, Brady should work on throwing while on the run, as once again that asset aided Manning in the game. I don't mean Brady should turn into Fran Tarkenton, but instead of running around with supermodel skanks, hanging
whoa,
on him.
Whoa.
I agree.
Why would he go where Leonardo DiCaprio went before him? He might be wise to work on that facet of his otherwise stellar game. Lastly, since I haven't read of any progress with the free agents, is it because of Bill coaching in the Pro Bowl? And will it all begin in the next couple of weeks, or has Samuel and Graham already decided to leave town? No, it has nothing. Bill's Pioli's probably in charge of that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we generally hear a lot about negotiations as a rule, whether Bill is in Hawaii.
And they're
or
big not. Time free agents. Why would they sign now?
I just don't
see
think
what's out there.
I don't think there's any chance that Asante Samuel. I don't care what you offer him right now, today. I don't think there's any chance that he signs it, because why would you when you can wait 3 weeks and be on the open market?
And more importantly, if you're looking for a guy to follow, I got to think, if you're Tom Brady, I can hang with Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, that's a guy I wouldn't
follow. I think he should be working on his game. This guy's
on.
With models now. He's all over the place. He's going on TV all the time. I'm sick of seeing him.
Come on.
You talking about Peyton Manning?
No, he's talking about Tom Brady.
I know.
You know, you get those 3 Super Bowl rings, Fred, all of a sudden it's not quite
got those cool. 2 years ago.
I'm not worried about Tom Brady's work ethic.
I agree, though. Stop dating.
Guy needs to get his pipes
clean. Another 10 past 12 comment right there.
What? I just slammed
I know. That's another atypical comment for you late in the show.
I'm telling Brady, stop with the supermodels. We know you're cool. Get yourself a hot wife and cheat on her. That's the way to go.
No. He's getting it out of his system now, as he should, because in a few years, he wants to be more the great figure and then start to get into politics, and you can't do this stuff anymore, so... Get it out of your system. Go through the whole cast of Victoria's Secret models if you want. And then settle down with a nice wife.
Meanwhile, the Patriots won't be winning Super Bowls because, you know, he's...
Well, he was running around with those same women when he was winning Super Bowls.
So. Hey, he was younger back then.
Way skankier than Giselle. Tara Reid is the biggest skank on earth. And
that's
true.
What do you mean she's a skank?
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will
Tara.
Next Wednesday. Remember, look at the roster reports on Friday, draft reports on Tuesday. A lot of content on Patriots.com.